Alrighty, guys, we're here with Riff, Ricky, and Chris, and myself, and we're here for, I guess, like another episode, right?
It's
so
new year, new us. No, it's not new us. No.
I mean, we've already kind of been
doing our thing. Stupid, uneducated, throw out random comments.
Nothing has changed.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're going to go on our first one. It's going to be, why are thrift stores charging eBay prices?
I wonder if there's an actual answer to this. Like, what is the actual, or is it just to get every dime you can? It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thought process. I remember the days of yore at thrift stores, which will also lead into the demise of us talking about this. There's going to be the comments filled with, well, maybe if you guys didn't film at the thrift stores telling people what stuff were worth, prices wouldn't go up. But aside from that, which we will talk about, I'm not trying to avoid it by any means. Back in the day, you go to thrift stores, things were cheap, much cheaper. You know, it almost seemed like they just kind of threw a generic price across the board. T-shirts are $3.99. Now there's glass cases. This shirt's $140. I feel like where's that mark to where it feels justified? Like, what percentage can they ask that like feels like you're still like, oh, I'd be willing to pay that? But something at a thrift store, when you see them asking eBay prices, full 100% value, it immediately makes you think, "What? Why? You got this for free?" But I know they have a business to run, so it's a weird like.
I mean, there's also the background of having the charitable work that they do as well. So I mean, and they also
some of
play
those thrift stores, not necessarily Goodwill.
No, I'm
I wouldn't
not saying
even
all.
Call them a charity anymore.
No, they're not a charity.
They sure. claim they are, but I would not categorize. They are not, as far as I my understanding, a 501c.
So yeah. I used to work for a guy who was a documentarian. Is that a word? He did documentaries. And he did stuff on like the Fab Four, which is like a Beatles tribute band and a bunch of other stuff. And I never asked him about it because at the time it was just, it wasn't the right place, right time. But to this day, I wish I would have asked him more. I remember saying, what else did you work on? And he said, we almost released a video, a documentary about Goodwill. And I said, what about it? What was your thing? He said, it's one of the scummiest businesses on the planet Earth.
Gosh, I wish they had came out with that.
And I was like, really?
I am not a huge fan of Goodwill because they do play it off as if they are a charity.
Yeah,
even the name implies, oh, you're giving, donating to Goodwill. And I don't know the whole history on it, but I do believe at one point they were a 501c. Maybe somebody can correct me on this. This is my understanding. They were. And then at some point they switched over and they did become a for-profit. Like, they have a CEO.
It's weird because like I was just
a for-profit company. Mm. Now, they do claim that they do Goodwill because they give back by hiring, you know, people that
wouldn't normally be accepted in a typical.
Right.
Yeah.
And they help out the community that way. But as far as being like a true, like my understanding of Salvation Army is a 501c, like gives back, I believe. Maybe somebody could correct me on all this because I haven't read
about it. I mean, I was kind of like in like the website sphere and you were looking at like the About Us section. It kind of comes off as a front where they are look like they're doing a lot of charitable things. But I mean, like, how do you really prove that?
Even
right?
when you're in the store on the announcements that are playing are like help the community, give back, and it's like kind of implying like, oh, you're doing such a good thing donating to us. But my understanding is they are just a for-profit company. Yeah. Now if you, and to go to the question,
I love that this started out with us just talking about prices.
No,
yeah, but to go to the price thing, if they are a for-profit company, well, what does for-profit companies do? They want to maximize profits. Yeah. Right. So when I hear this conversation come up, and I've talked about it before, about like, well, why, if they get it for free, then they should discount their prices. My take is kind of like, well, why? They're a business. They're going to try to get as much money as they can kind of thing.
I think it's more, it's not, to what you're saying, it's, I guess, the way you're presenting yourself, right? It's called Goodwill. It's a thrift store. Everyone goes in with the perception of this is a thrift store, which I totally get. I'm still somewhat in that. I don't know where my brain sits. Maybe I'll have a different perspective after we talk. But it's people going expecting thrift store, charity, donations, right? They don't think for profit when you walk into a Goodwill, a Savers, anything like that. So when you see and you walk and you're like, oh, dude, they have those Air Force Ones that are like normally $120 on eBay. And you look and it's like $115. You're like, what? That's where I think it goes off because the perception is, you know, Goodwill, a thrift store. Same even at swap meets. You say it all the time when we leave the swap meet. You're like, why? What's up with these prices? Like, this is a swap meet. The initial, you know, what swap meets were for is to go there and get a good deal. You buy a Super Nintendo game that's $40 on eBay, but you go to a booth that's at it for a year and a half in the sun, faded out, been in and out of a storage locker, thrown back and forth for $40 as well. And you're like, what is this?
Well, I know the one group that really hates it the most, and we are in that category, is resellers, of course. You're going to the thrift shop with the intent of, I'm going to buy something for cheap to resell online. Mm. So if they're selling it at the online price, obviously there's no resale value. And we feel that way at, you know, the swap meet as well. But I think that what Goodwill realized, they just, in my opinion, they got smarter over the years. Mm. They just realized, like, wait a second, we're just giving stuff away.
We can make more money.
Yeah, and right, we can make more money. And I think they caught on to the fact that resellers were coming in there. And they're like, well, why are we catering to resellers? Oops. When we're resellers, we should just be selling at the price. Why do we even allow these margins to go out the window for somebody else to make money if we could make that money?
And I agree. We're like, well, I will say we weren't as guilty back in the day because we never resold anything back in the day. So us going to thrift stores, kind of being like, sweet, we got a good deal for something for our collection. I get that. But again, yes, as reselling got more and more popular, I admit we would be like, ah, shoot. Like sometimes I don't want to say the price because I'm like, crap, then Goodwill will know if they watch, you know, or you'll walk in and an employee is like, hey, watch your guys' channel. And you're like, dang it, you know, in your head. But at the same time, yeah, it's gotten, and it's not obviously just video games. It's clothing people. It's people looking for knickknacks within the forks and the Tupperware and the plate, and this is an expensive plate, so it's everything. It's not
everything,
just
I guess in like the like in your guys' perspective, like what do you think is the purpose for a site like Half Books or a site like Goodwill, them creating an online store to be able to take merchandise from their floor or from the back room and sell it online?
Well, on that, when I think when Goodwill switched, and I remember it was around 2011, they did put out goodwill.com, which is their online auction site. I think that was, from what I remember, around the time when all of a sudden you stopped seeing like all the crazy deals. I think when they got online, they started noticing like, oh, these are the values of stuff. And maybe they started tracking it. Who knows what goes on the backside, back end of it. But, and it was also around that time that you started seeing, and you still see it, like if you go on Amazon and you search, say, video games. I was just on there literally yesterday looking at this. I forget what game I was looking up, whatever it was. Almost a third of the listings, I want to say, were Goodwill stores.
Wow.
Yeah. Goodwill San Diego, Goodwill.
Oh, yeah. They wherever, have their own Vancouver. eBay stores. Yeah, I've been seeing
that. And they're selling on Amazon. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It even says, like, for a charity.
I didn't notice that. I didn't notice that.
It
says that. I'm like, oh. Say that?
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
On it and they'll say it.
Is there a number, like, legally to be considered a charity that you have to give away? Like, if a company is giving away 0.1% to something, can they call themselves a charity?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, if be a full nonprofit, like a 501c nonprofit, that means you're giving away everything. Expenses, of course, right? Like you have your employees and stuff. But could you just donate and say, well, we donate to charity, therefore we're charitable?
I was listening to the Side Scrollers podcast today, and I don't remember what they were talking about. They were talking about something random, and they were talking about like there is a company out there that they were thinking of. And they were talking about a bunch of big charity organizations saying that these guys are jacking up their prices on their stuff, giving away like pennies, and they're being touted as some of the biggest names in charity. To this day, they're still some of the biggest names you see in the movie theaters and this and this. He's like, but they are some of like the most people who don't give close to anything. It's really so they can make, you know, tons and tons of money. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, saving face. So,
I think you see a lot of companies do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I won't even name some of them, but you do see charity being used as the forefront of the image of that brand as like, oh, we're charitable.
We're doing good.
Yeah. Maybe not a nonprofit, but we're doing good. And some of them probably genuinely do. So I don't want to knock all.
Never take
it's,
away from.
It's definitely tough to like go into a store and you go to see a shirt that you like and then you see the price and it's like a $25 shirt and you're like, dude, this is Goodwill. I just want like a normal modern shirt for like $5-$10.
Yeah, like, sometimes you'll search it and it's like on Target and it's cheaper at Target. You're like, what are they doing? It's just a modern print Spider-Man shirt and they marked it at $12.99. You're like, this is a $12 shirt at most anywhere else.
Now do you
That's
guys
the worst, yeah.
Do you guys donate to Goodwill still?
I used to.
Nope.
Until I had whatnot.
No.
Like, why would I? I'm just going to be honest. Like, I'm not going to give away this $30, you know, vintage t-shirt that this isn't a $30 vintage.
No,
that's expensive. But, you know, when I'm like, I can sell, and again, not even really like making, I'm probably lose money in the end, but I'm like, if I can get $5 for it, I'd rather do that.
What if you have like a bag of like kids' clothes?
Savers.
Savers?
Yeah,
we do Savers. But I mean, like, Savers is also for profit, though.
Savers is. I do Salvation Army because I believe they are still a 501c. I believe. I don't think Savers is. Savers is definitely.
He says Savers is for, like, a disease, though.
I don't know. Maybe somebody can correct.
I
don't know. Somebody
I can look it up.
Check it out.
But I will say sometimes, though, and you still can, deals can slip through the cracks.
Yes.
Still. We did a video end of last year called, like, So I Went to a Thrift Store Today, and it was Ricky and I going, and I got, like, Metroid Prime with a GameCube with controllers for $30 on camera.
Which thrift store was it?
Savers.
You also had a huge... you also had a huge short that was, like, getting those N64 boxes to go off.
Yeah, a short get over a million views when I found N64 games in box for, like, $70, which is still a lot, but they were, like, $160 games.
See, I agree with that. Like, put it up, like, to a degree, but... Not the same price as eBay. I'd rather get it at eBay, and, like, if it doesn't work, I'm like, all right, I'm returning this thing. I don't know. At least you can authenticate it.
Do you think that when they're pricing stuff in store, they're actually just looking at eBay? They probably are.
I think that stores actually have hired people strictly to do the background on online listing, because when you're at Savers, they are back there on the internet searching it to price it.
Yeah, so they have, like, a pricing expert, I assume, in the back.
For it's sure there's online. Someone
and it's not just Savers. I mean, I'm saying, like, it's these are multiple. Yeah. I mean, it's everywhere. It's, like, Half Book, it is Savers, it's Half Goodwill, Half Price Books, yeah. It's Book Off, it's everyone.
I'll say for sure somebody's watching or listening who works at a Goodwill, works at a Savers. Let us know in the comments if it's a good, interesting comment. We'll pin it, because I want to know the back in and out of it. I want to know if the manager is a scumball, or if he's like, no, truly, I want to do good things, and that's why I work here. I want to know that.
Well, yeah. I do think, from what I've heard from people that have worked in the back of Goodwills, that they are sorting and picking out high-end stuff, whether it's video games. I've heard even all single-stitch shirts, stuff like that.
Shoes.
Go directly, just get separated from stuff that goes out on the floor, and that goes right to, like, their Goodwill online,
or Showcase.
Which probably goes to their Amazon stores, which goes to their website. So they are sorting through that. What you're seeing in those Goodwill stores is very picked through
at
this point. You know what's weird is we talked to a buddy that worked there, and he would work in the back. I don't know if you remember, I can't remember his name, but he used to work at the back, and the video games back in, like, 2010, 2011, they didn't even keep them. They just chucked them. So he used to just go to the trash can afterwards and pick them up.
Wow.
Like, actually, I had an experience when I was with one of my friends at, like, Savers, like, one of those, and he saw a Lego set in the glass case, and it was priced kind of for a reseller, because he is a reseller, and he was about to go check it out. The manager says, oh, you can't do that, takes it to the back, reprices it, and it was double the price of what it was going to be, and he was just like, I'm done with this store. He was completely flabbergasted.
That's what Chris does at his store.
No, I think Chris...
I honor the prices. I always have. There's been things that's happened, actually, and I honor.
I've seen it happen with me there. Like, yeah, I'm like,
you
hey,
guys,
dude.
That's right.
Oh,
you
there
guys
was an N64
something.
For, like, parts for, like, $10 in a bin. And I'm like, sweet. And I'm, like, looking there, and Chris is there, and I'm like, Chris, thanks for this N64. He's like, yeah, man, $10 is broken. And I was like, cool. I like the red expansion pack in there, too. He's like, no! I got it.
I did honor it. I do. I feel that that's the right thing.
I'll be honest.
But I feel that's the right thing to do. You should honor prices.
We went to Goodwill back in the day. We have it on video on our original channels. Look for our playlist that we have of our original long form videos. But when I went to Goodwill, and there was just a box behind the counter, and it was just all Genesis games, CIB, and it was like all good games, Moonwalker, all the general, whatever, all the good expensive games. And it was a different time. And I just told it was a little old lady, and I was like, oh, what about those games? And she's like, Genesis. And then even the manager came by, and he just looked, and he's like, just like $2 a game. I don't know. And I was like, let's go. And I did a whole video, you know, 20 CIB Genesis games, all good games.
That's the video that caused all these prices to go up.
Yeah. Well, that was long before we were resellers.
That was great. That's true.
I admit, and again, we are collectors as well, which, oh, by the way, the time this video goes out, there's some good news. I don't even think on camera I even said a price of anything. I don't think I was like, oh, this is worth $58, which is so funny. Now we're in such a weird place with YouTube where, like, collectors and resellers in one market, which is us, so I get it. But, like, there'll be comments of people being like, tell us the prices. Like, I get, like, an endorphin rush when I know you like whack somebody. But then it's also the opposite too, where I'm like, I don't want necessarily to raise prices or make people feel bad. So people are always like trying to figure out like, why didn't you see the prices? Yeah. Because you waxed them or you don't want us to know that you're reselling it or is it going in your collection? It's just like this weird snowball of people wanting an answer. And honestly, sometimes I feel like certain sellers too, like don't want us to put like their personal, what they made on video and stuff. So I'm like, sometimes we just do it to respect the sellers. Yeah. Sometimes they don't want us putting all that information out there.
And I think what's been actually pretty different from the perspective of the reselling bit, like resellers being on YouTube, is they're actually telling people what they're making. And that's been a long time where people are like, I don't want to tell you what I'm making because it's probably stupid amounts of money. But these people are so transparent, like Phoenix, Harry,
Ashley's video
Commonwealth,
today.
Ashley
dropped her video today that I edited, literally showing you screenshots of her YouTube, her eBay, everything. She's like, yep, made $75,000 on YouTube this year. Here's the screenshot. I made this on eBay. Here's a screenshot. I mean, like, they're also educating you, right? If you are not someone who's fully against it, like, hey, this is what you can make. There's a non-scummy way to go about it.
Yeah.
There's a way to collect and there's a way to resell. So it's interesting. It's a whole different
mind. It is interesting. And I've been a reseller for a long time. Around when you guys
look like you've been one for a long time.
This is what you look like if you've been a reseller.
Hard and oh man. No one walks in wearing a $350 hat and an $800 shirt. Literally what he paid. $350 hat, $800 shirt.
Right? I did.
Is what a reseller can afford.
But it is interesting just seeing that, like watching Phoenix Resale, for instance, and in the back, like the very intricate now of the whole process of reselling.
Oh my gosh.
Which is, again, I've been a reseller. I wish I'd done it like 12 years ago, but I probably would have gotten slaughtered then.
Oh yeah.
And we've talked about
probably this. Probably wouldn't have lasted because of that.
Yeah, because of that. And it's just like a such a wide open book now.
Well, Caleb's newest videos, he's leaned really heavily, obviously, into like the actual, I mean, he's pulling out whiteboards and they're 50-minute videos of how much he made this quarter, this, how he did this, how he moved this, changed this. I mean, that's, it is literally like a, almost like a teaching program.
Yeah.
So it's completely not just even shifted, but almost like taken precedent.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
And to bring us back, I kind of wanted to bring a more prevalent question that was for the eBay pricing. Does that like hurt people who are not well off that want to go into these stores and buy cheap clothing, cheap things?
I'd say yes and no, because I feel like, let's say Granny Goose walks in and she's not trying to buy. She's not buying a single stitch heater. She's not. That's what I call my friend's neighbor's mom across the street. I'm always like, Granny Goose, and they're like, why do you call her that? She's like 40. I'm like, I don't know.
That's awesome.
But like, Granny Goose isn't going in buying a single stitch Michael Jordan heater 9 times out of 10, knowing that's what she wanted. She may have bought it, but I don't think she was necessarily seeking it. So I don't think it hurts the regular consumer, because for anybody who goes in, I think Dusty said an example one time and it kind of did. I was like, ooh, he's right. Like someone set a price on something that was like way too high. And I was like, oh dude, I'm not paying that. And he's like, it's funny. I never hear you complain when the price is too low and you know you're waxing us. And I was like, dang, that's actually true. Like, we're so quick to jump in to complain about a high price, but I don't go into Goodwill and say, oh dude, like, I don't go and tell them that it's priced $150 cheaper.
That's Dusty wisdom.
That's true.
Dusty wisdom.
Yeah. That is some serious wisdom. I was like, dang, that actually kind of hurt.
I didn't even hear him hit that knowledge slap on you. Right?
Yeah, he hit me good with it. And I was like,
did you swallow it? You're like,
yep, here's your money. Like, I was like, yep, you're right. It's such a true statement though. And we can all be guilty of it. All of us can be guilty of it because we don't complain.
But you,
when it's too low.
To answer your question, you can still, and what you were talking about too, you can still go into thrift stores. Like, I think the last thing I bought there was like a belt. Like, I needed a belt. I went in there and the belt was probably like $5. Right, it's not an item that they're going to sell online. I think that they've just started doing what Dusty does, what we do. You get a big lot of something. A Goodwill has massive amounts of stuff. You filter out the good stuff. You find a market for that, and then all the mid-low trash, goes out in the store. And they Goodwill and these thrift stores just figured that out. High price stuff, take that, goes online. Mid-low trash goes in the store, and if you need, you know, an old pair of beat up Nikes, you probably can still
find
them.
Why'd you point to my shoes? They're like brand new.
Yeah, no, he's usually wearing beat up Nikes. Now he's wearing brand new ones.
Shoes. But
I got two pairs of these exact shoes.
I just bought these too.
Those are the ones my son wanted.
Yeah.
Those
I wanted those ones.
Oh, really?
I didn't want these ones with the black thing on it. Yeah. Oh, dude, I just. Both Air Force Ones.
I literally just buy everything on Whatnot now. I'm like, dude, $20 shoes.
Me too. Swap me right here. Boom.
It was there.
Dang. Swap me. Jordans.
Dude, those are so sick. He gets so many compliments. I wish they looked good on my feet. You know, like mids, they look terrible on my feet.
Poor audio listeners right now.
What are you guys talking about? We're talking about the Nikes, guys. Yeah. All right, guys, we're gonna go on our next topic. It's gonna be ranking retro YouTubers.
I wouldn't say they're all. Are they all retro?
For the most part,
we'll just say they're not. So that people who aren't interested in other ones will want to see all of them.
Yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of different creators on this one, and we can go on to the next one. Just kidding.
I say last time we did this, we were like really new to the podcast. It was like our first, maybe second episode. So I feel like, you know, we're trying to be a little nice. So if we don't like somebody on here, let's just trash them. Yeah. Let's hurt their feelings and make them cry, you know?
And I'm going to let Ricky start off with a number. What number do you want, sir?
Number four.
Four. I can't count that high.
Wow.
Let's see.
Count.
Ooh, this is...
Gaming Off the Grid.
Let's go.
I love Gaming Off the Grid. This is going to be a hard one to trash. You know what? So if you haven't seen Gaming Off the Grid, I feel like they're like the every normal person's channel. Like they're
the dudes.
They're dudes. They're normal guys. They're just playing games. They're talking. They drink beer. They review beer. Like, even though Ricky and I don't drink. Dude, they're just like us. They drink beer. No. But it just reminds you of like bros being bros and kind of what YouTube is, or what video gaming is off YouTube. You're just chatting with your boys. You're talking about games. You're just doing your thing. I'm going to give them a solid A because I like what they are as far as, you know, YouTube and portraying gamer dudes. Ricky?
I'm going to give them an A, but I like them a lot, but I love what they do with the charity streams. They do a lot of like charity for like the kids' hospitals.
Do.
A lot of mad respect for that because they do like a 24-hour challenge. I think it's pretty cool.
Don't lie, Ricky. Right now I'm looking in the eyes. Have you ever donated to them?
No.
I've donated everyone. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that's awesome.
I always joke, but I always get notifications when they do them. That's why. But
how about you, Chris?
So glad I gave myself shine right there.
You got it, dude.
This was a new one for me. I had not seen this channel before. So I did watch them today. So from what I saw, they were like you described. They were just like everyday dudes.
Yeah.
I liked the vibe of it. I liked what they were talking about. Some of the topics are really good. They were more in line with like topics we talk about.
Yeah.
They weren't just necessarily like game reviews and stuff. I think they were talking about, you know, collecting and they were talking about Best Buy digital music.
I swear on my life, and I hate to admit it, I love you, Robert and Wes. I've totally like scrounged through their channel to find podcast topics.
I just some topics here. Because I was looking, I was like, oh, this is right in line with us. Well, now we know
why. Not too in line.
But they were it was entertaining. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I would give them a B+.
Okay.
All right. B. All right. Yeah, I'm going to say they're a B. I like the chemistry of them too. I think their channel ranges a lot, but when I go to a channel, I'm kind of expecting a one type of content, but they definitely hit a very good side of content. I like their podcast style. Yeah. And I also like when they have their gaming nights where they're reviewing games. They
play games.
So, I mean, I'm going to go with a good solid B.
So BBAA, it's between a B and A.
Yep. I got you. And we're going to keep it there.
Who's next? Throw up whoever, Curtis, just click on one, bro.
Oh yeah.
Surprise us. Click on anybody.
Boom.
Ooh, SNES drunk. Ricky, do you know them? Him?
You've showed me some of his stuff before.
That's drunk. So he's the kind of guy that I like to throw on just to get like gaming knowledge out the way. So he basically reviews like every game. Obviously, this is, you know, Super Nintendo right here, but he just goes through and he's not drowning you with like 45-minute reviews, which that's a whole nother topic. That has become a thing on YouTube.
Yeah, like the length of the like reviews. Yeah.
40 to hour and a half long videos on like, which is whatever. No shame, no whatever, but different topic. He does them quick. He kind of gets you what you need to know. Like if you're going to play a Super Nintendo game, you want to watch him. He's quick. He's going to get the information you need. Is it a good game? Is it a bad game? What's it about? So I like it for what it is. I don't watch him all the time, but I do throw him on when I'm like doing stuff. So I'm going to go solid B.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go next on this one. And he actually is someone that I actually go to watch when I'm like, I don't know anything about a game.
So you're
like,
watching him all the time.
Yeah. You suck. At least I'm like the super, I mean, like when you first type in like SNES games, he's like one of the first people that talk up. So, or pops up, not talks up. Yeah. Imagine. But yeah, like I really enjoy like when he actually does an entire playthrough, he has a very good narrating voice behind it. And he gives you pretty good tips. So I'm going to say he's a solid A.
Solid A. Okay. Ricky, Chris, either of you got an opinion?
I'm going to, a lot of my ranking is going to be based on the content, and I love the Super NES, my favorite system of all time. So it was not a channel that I watch all the time. To be honest, I don't really even watch that much YouTube anymore, yeah. To be honest. So some of these guys I have not seen, but I was watching him. I love the intro. That was like one of the best intros, yeah. And I watched quite a few of his videos. And again, the content is amazing because it's all Super NES yeah. stuff. He did do some other stuff, but I really did like it. I'll go solid B.
The one video that resonates with me with him is like when he does like the must haves,
yeah.
like in your SNES collection,
yeah.
and he does like each game and explains like why it's great. That's kind of like why I like go to him for things. So, yeah. How about you, Ricky?
I'm gonna go with a B. I think I did his. I was trying to go over Blackthorn because I couldn't remember it for the life of me. I'm like, dude,
my God, that's
how come I can't think of like this game right? Like I remember favorite. It, but I couldn't remember it all. So I went to him.
Oh, it's so good. That was one of my favorite games.
It's good. And I was like, dude, how did I forget about this? And his, you're right. He goes right to it and just lets you know like the good stuff, the bad stuff. I love it.
It's like, obviously there's a good place on YouTube, which we'll go into for yeah. like the deep, where it came from, where the, but like I sometimes when I just want to like Ooh. Get my nostalgia fix, I'm like, oh, there we go. Yeah.
So I was A. You were a B. All right.
So he's a little bit low gaming off the grid.
Six. Okay.
Throw up a big dog next. Throw up a Who are we going?
We're going to Kadikaris.
Kadikaris.
Who wants to start off with
anybody one? Have any small information? Or you guys aren't as good at smart YouTube stuff, huh? Like you don't watch it as much as
I don't really watch.
So Sorry. His content is a little bit more long form, and it's like
a little bit.
Yeah,
they were long. They are like hour long videos. Speaking of long ones, I'll hop in on it. He reminds me of a throwback to the old skit style.
He is one of them.
Yeah, one of them. I mean, how long has he been around for?
A long time. Before our original channel.
Didn't we meet him in Portland?
Yeah.
Yeah, we met him in Portland. So,
but he's from the UK, right?
Yes. So Kid Icarus, I found him when he hit his 20,000 subscribers. He had like a 20,000 subscriber special, and that's when I found him originally. And then we started doing our channel, and I remember he left a comment on our channel saying like, I could see you guys being something someday. I'm sure if he saw this, he wouldn't remember for anything. But I actually think he's one of the goats of YouTube for sure. Like he was always entertaining. He's that style of reviewer that like refuses to let you get bored. It's just constant things happening, which is easier to do with 10 to 15 minute content. He's doing it with hour to 2 hour content, constantly something happening, full on skit in the middle of the road, driving somewhere to put on a funny outfit for a 2 second joke to land. So I'm like, this guy is putting in time, effort, energy, and I give it to him because he's his own editor.
Yeah, hey. I'm amazed by the editing and the time that must go into those.
Unreal.
Yeah. It has got to be unreal. But the fact that he is like an old school guy, he does do that skit, which really is a throwback. If you came out and did that today, I feel like you wouldn't succeed. It's just different the way YouTube is.
Everyone's
now.
Too distracted now. They need something else.
Yeah,
like, I need to know where I'm going with this. I can't sit through this.
Right. So the fact that he's accomplished all that, and I love it, his editing is unbelievable. I'd give him an A. Yeah. I liked him a lot.
I go ask, by the way, for him.
All right. How about you, Ricky?
I'll skip this one.
Okay.
Not
well informed.
No, well informed. No worries. I'm going to break this entire setup over here, guys. I actually like Kid Icarus. He's one of those guys where it's like you can just sit down. He kind of has this art style, almost like Meat Canyon, where it's like he puts in animation and he also has this comedic effect in the skits.
Very comedically
His
driven.
Comedy's hilarious.
Yeah. And
making
like,
me laugh.
Honestly, you don't find very many UK people to be funny for me, at least like creative wise.
You heard that, guys.
Hey, roasted I'll be honest,
the whole
like,
country.
Thanks for
dude, unless you're like Ricky, hey,
I gotta watch this again.
Unless you're like Ricky Gervais, like where you could just land like the comedic effect. Like sometimes those don't work here in the U.S. His applies to basically just everyone, which I think is great. So for me, man, it's definitely I like him as an S. I think that's a solid S. So.
SSA.
SSA.
So all right, we're gonna go on to our next one. It's gonna be this one's gonna be a little spicy. Let's go.
RGT85. Ricky, why don't you start? You're laughing over there.
Dude, I remember this guy from back in the day. I watched a couple of his things, but I'm not huge. He's probably like a C.
I know
you're being nice. I feel like you want to say lower, bro. He watches the channel, bro. Tell him to his face right now.
I could have sworn, dude. I could have sworn he used to comment on the videos. So I always laugh when I used to see him.
He did recently.
I'm like,
too.
Bro. I'm like, I remember you,
Ricky. Don't let that hinder your vote, bro.
It hindered my vote.
Ricky, would you go with C?
He didn't want to say lower. He wants to say lower. I can tell.
I said C.
See?
Yeah.
I too have known RGT 85 a long time. He actually he lives in Connecticut, which I think is okay to say. But he
doxed.
Nice. So I'm from Connecticut. So he's like a local
two for two.
He's a local YouTuber to me. But I have known him like I forget the first time I met him, but I've known him long before he blew up to what he is now. I'm pretty surprised at how much his channel has grown, actually. Yeah. I think one of the reasons it has maybe is he has a very straightforward approach to things. I do find myself actually hopping in and listening to him and his opinions on stuff. I feel like it's a pretty unbiased thing on a lot of topics, which I like. So for a grade, he's not one of my favorites, I would say, but I do appreciate it. I do like it. I'm going to give him a B.
I'll say for me, yeah, we've known Sean for a long time. We were closer with him back in the day, kind of didn't talk to him as much when we got off. And now he kind of reconnected a little bit, comment here and there. I'll comment on his here and there. I'm just not a news channel guy. That's just not my thing. So I do appreciate, though, for being a news channel, he's more of just a dude, right? He's not trying to like, you know, give you the IGN, you know, rundown, try to look a certain way. And
he doesn't care.
He's just like, what's up, people? F this game, cool, this is great. I respect that aspect, but just because news channels are not for me at all, like I rarely will go in and watch it, I'll go C for that. But if I was a news channel, I'd be ranking him higher, but I'm not into that stuff, so I just don't watch it.
Yeah, I do like the fact that he is very transparent with his reviews and stuff, but I think that like when people play into like the drama channel of like what's going on in a certain sphere, I'm not generally attracted to that type of content. And so, like, I'm going to put him at, like, a D because I don't know him. I don't watch him a lot. But, I mean, that's just not my style of content to watch. So.
Waxed.
So.
I like Sean, though. Sean, I love you. Thank you.
Yeah, Sean's
like,
awesome. Hey,
this is nothing personal against people. Like, I mean, we're just giving it straight and narrow.
We know Pixel Podcast is a solid D.
Dude, yeah, we know.
Sure. Like, we're for sure aware.
Don't like, take
little
the validity.
Fun fact, like, Sean had reached out. You know that... Phoenix Resale did a video where he went and bought it. Like Sean had reached out to me before that to buy his lot. So
you were too cheap.
It's
so funny. When the podcast started, Ricky brought in like some toys back here and we were like, he's like, they were me and Ricky's toys. And he's like, oh, where'd you guys sell them? And he's like, we're like, oh, to a buddy of ours. I won't say his name. And Chris is like, why don't you guys come to me? And we're like, we knew what you would pay.
All right, we're going to go on to the next one. It's going to be My Life in Gaming.
Oh,
how about S. Who wants to start it?
S.
All right.
In my opinion, if you're into specs or you know game stack style content, they're brains. They're smart. They're everything we aren't. They're smart in every aspect. They can. If you ask why is this RGB look weird on this screen, they'd be like, oh well, intellectually the positive neutron of this. And I'm just like, this is. And they're great guys. We actually. They had shot me a bunch of B-roll back in the day. We did some work together. So they're great guys. I think they're class acts in YouTube. The retro gaming scene is full of a bunch of goofballs and nutheads like us and game chasers, delinquents. They don't deserve to be in the same category, even though they are in the same category.
I put these guys like with GameSack. They are very similar styles, I feel. Very like almost like intellectually like... superior to us. They've been to Retro World a bunch of times. Great guys. Yeah. It is not my favorite content to watch, though. It is not. As good as their videos are, it's kind of like what you said about RGT85. I don't necessarily go and watch those type of videos all the time. For that... I hate to do it, but I probably would put him at a C for just me.
That's fine.
Yeah, C. I hate to knock those guys because they're such good guys and their content is great. But for me, it's
not your content.
Not my content.
You're not smart enough to watch. Ricky? I'll put them at a B. They make me feel smarter, even though I'm not. Just watching their stuff, I'm like, oh.
I'm not going to lie. I feel dumber because I can't keep up.
Well, I feel like I'm learning.
I feel like I'm learning, and I feel so intellectual. And then the minute the video's done, I'm like, I'm going to go apply it to my stuff. And I go turn on my PS5. I'm like, I don't remember how to do anything they just said. But I'm like, it was so engaging during it. They're very good editors, too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a B. I think they're solid. They kind of remind me more of, like, the chemistry between them, like, gaming off the grid, kind of that style. But also the review style of, like, GameSec. So, but, I mean, it's just not typically
content.
Compare
them to gaming off the grid?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, the chemistry between the two characters.
They have good chemistry, but they're definitely not like gaming off the grid.
Okay, that's what I meant, though. Different. Like,
the opposite of
gaming. But did you not see the follow-up of those words? It said chemistry of the two guys, right?
Yes and no.
Oh, my gosh. You're the worst.
When I was really tracking with you on that.
No, and then I'm saying comparison of intellectually is GameSec, right? That's what you didn't hear, I'm guessing. That, all right, go back just like you do on their videos. Like
when I meet them someday, they're one of the only YouTubers that'll, like, shake their hand. Because I'm like, you guys are like...
Have you never met him?
No, not in person.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah.
Wow. You speak very highly of them all the time, so...
I love them.
All right, we're going to go on our next one. It's going to be...
Who we got?
Yes!
DK Oldies!
Hey, man, they're a content creator in the sphere, so...
They are a content creator? Who wants to start? Curtis, go ahead.
I'll be honest. This is not my style where it's just like... I watch basically their shorts. I'm going to say they're a D. And not because Joey's bad or anything like that. I'm just saying,
so you're not speaking to anything relating to the controversy.
No. It's literally just because it's just so cut and dry. It feels like I'm watching a TikTok video, and I'm not very... Got in it. That, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not me, so D.
I'll be honest, I like it. Maybe it's because I don't have TikTok and I don't watch shorts and stuff that often. So when I see it, I'm like, oh, this is fun. It's stupid fun, is what I'll say. Here's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of I say this with respect, a bunch of nerds just being like, let's do something silly. Like, let's do a fun little silly skit. And I find that because that's how Ricky and I started years ago, is doing stupid, to be honest, cringy, dumb little skits. That's what we used to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I enjoy seeing it, because they're just goofing around. I mean, not saying it's S tier, but I'll give them a B because of that. I enjoy it. All the other stuff aside, whatever, I never paid attention to that stuff anyway. But Christopher?
I appreciate, because I like what they're filming, the business model that they have.
Yeah.
So I would watch it for that, because I'm intrigued by their operation. And they've been around for a long time, and they've grown, and they're pretty successful, minus a few hiccups that they had. But the corniness of it is a little much for me.
Yeah.
I don't know when I hate to knock that dude. I don't know that guy, but when it's
let's get him at SoCal.
I know.
No, he's actually great. I'm inviting Joey to SoCal. I'm saying it now.
I gotta say, he's got a really unique personality. I don't know if he's like that in real life or not, or if that's a camera thing that he puts on.
I bet you he's a nice. I have a feeling he's a nice.
He's got to be a nice dude, because I mean, like, why not work
for? You know, he reminds me of. He'd be like Ben. Like, just a happy, like, hey, nice to meet you. Like, a happy guy.
He probably is a really nice guy. It's just, like, over-the-top corniness. And I wonder if he's over-the-top corny in real life. So it's
like Does it give you, like, kind of like that purge feeling where it's, hey, nice to meet you. And then, like, literally puts on a mask.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
What's your ranking, Chris?
I'm going to go D. They're just not my favorite.
Oh, boy. I wasn't expecting that. Ricky?
I mean, I enjoy it when it flips on, but when it comes on like more than two swipes, I'm like, I just gotta keep getting out of here.
But Ricky, you get a keychain. That's his thing.
I forgot.
I think it's great. I'm gonna be honest. Whatever.
No, I just thought it was funny when you said that.
What are you giving it?
A D.
Okay.
For DK Oldies.
Oh, D for DK.
You can't give it a D just because it's called DK Oldies.
I've done that before. All right, we're going
to
go.
We know. You also compared My Life and Gaming to Gaming Off the Grid.
No. You didn't hear the follow-up of that, but it's fine.
Curtis, Sack, Game Sack is up next.
I'm going to give this guy a solid A. I really like him. He's very in-depth on his reviews, and I think he just has a quality like voice to him, too. So,
how long have you been listening to them?
I got introduced to him from Ben, actually, about 2 months ago.
Oh, so you're new.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've been in Ricky and I's videos before. There's two of them.
Really?
Just Joe and Dave.
And that's how you know I don't know you guys as well.
I know. So Joe and Dave, they had the channel, and they were like Team Nintendo, Team Sega. That was kind of like their whole thing, right? One guy was always the Nintendo guy. One guy was the Sega guy.
Turbo, too.
Yeah. Well, yes, they're into Turbo. Nintendo and Sega was their shticks they played. I think they are S. And I say, you know, Dave as well, because he'll pop on here once in a while. He'll pop on the show once in a while. You know, they did like the classic when he left, like Friends, like he was like his last episode, and like he looked at the room and like looked back and turned out the light and closed the door. And I was like,
I think his intro is dope. Like it's like how it has that, like the
they literally animated. they're so them in My Life and Gaming are the same type of people, but they're a little more raunchy in the fact that I think I listened to a podcast a long time ago where the reason they picked that name is they just said, we like games. And they said, now we need one perverted word. So they just picked Sex. And I was like, oh,
I never even thought about that. Yeah. I was like, why is it game Sex?
But as far as like what they do, I mean, brilliant with their filming and their camera work.
The production values.
They're great editor. There. They're great. They were a great team.
How about you give them?
They're an S.
S. By far the best intro of like, oh my gosh, the intro is incredible. I'm not confusing with My Life in Gaming, right? That's the one where he's like putting the game
in the sack.
Yeah. It's so good. They fall in the same category as My Life in Gaming for me. It's not the content I go to. Ooh. But it is so good. Because of their intro, I'm going to give them a little bit higher.
And because they have the word sack in it.
Sack. Yeah. I'm going to go with a B.
All right.
Oh, you know me, dude. I'm going to go S for them. I love them.
Yeah, they're great.
Oh, that gives them a high A. Let's go.
We got to like actually hang out with them, not just like, hello. Yeah. And they were just like you picture. They're dudes.
Dave gave me a ghostwriter. I still have that thing.
Really?
A cool little ghostwriter. They're the night, like, awesome dude.
They were super cool dude.
All right, we're going to go with Cody with a K.
Cody with a K. Newcomer to the scene who has been amazing. One of the better reselling collecting channels I've seen come onto the scene. He came in. I actually shouted him out and it kind of pushed him above 1,000. And he thanked me in a video. Not that we put him on the map, but I mean, it helped for sure. I remember when we were brand new and NES Complex gave us a shout out and it took us to like 800 subs. And I was like, YouTubers.
Like, yeah, we're YouTubers.
But he has a good sense of humor. He understands timing with an editing. He's like Curtis if Curtis worked out. That's what he looks like.
He does look like a thin.
I just even my laugh just showed that. I was like clogged artery.
Just peels over.
He's an A. I love Cody with a K. And I love you, Curtis.
It's funny because this is actually like my S tier. I think he's
great.
Just like when his videos pop up, I do not want to miss him. The fact that like he's been able to play into like the game hunting, the collecting, the reselling, he hits kind of all those markets, but he also does his own cutscenes where he's like talking to himself. And one of my favorite lines by him, one of my favorite lines, bingo bongo, bro.
I always say bongo boys in the comments.
Dude, it is literally one of the funniest sayings.
He's mixing early style YouTube within what he's doing.
And I would say that like his content wasn't always like that. I would say within the past year, he's really changed it up where it's like very, very entertaining. Like where it's like you can't look away from the screen.
In the beginning?
I would say that his content style wasn't what it was, like his editing, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's any...
No, but that's why I'm ranking him now, right? Yeah. So I'm like, you know, what I've seen from him is an S tier for me. So
S-A.
I had not seen him before, but I watched him today, and I was pretty blown away. His comedy had me chuckling quite a few times, and the editing, and I was like, this is pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
It was really entertaining. It was so fast-paced and so quick, and it was covering things that we like collecting and prices and stuff like that. So I liked the wittiness of it. I'd give it an A. I liked it.
Ricky? Oh, it's funny as heck. A, dude. It's so good.
Yeah. I'm so glad.
Oh, good. You guys got me into him. I was like, who's Cody with a K? You're like, dude, you haven't seen him yet? I'm like, all right.
You're that Cody? I'm telling people about you, bro.
Yeah, you
going on. I'll leave it in the description.
Yo, he paid for that? I'm just kidding.
I've seen all people do that. Oh, whoops, I'm not going to comment about that.
Let's see. I think I don't see this color up there. Slopes Game Room. All right.
I'm not as well versed in Slopes, but I do watch him for some of that, like, deeper in-depth style kind of YouTube. Like he does some Kickstarter stuff, he did like some Amico stuff. I do watch him for that kind of stuff. He's just a very enjoyable person to watch. I won't say I watch him all the time, but I like to be able to, he's the kind of guy I'll just put on while I'm having a sandwich if I don't know like what to watch. I'm like, I'll throw on Slopes Game Room. He's like a mindless YouTuber. Not in that way. Like I can watch him while I'm doing mindless things and I still enjoy what he's doing. I'm going to go A on him. I still do really like his channel.
I don't want to hurt him too bad. I'm going to say that like for his style of content, I think that it generally doesn't really grab me. So I would say he's more of like a C for me.
For you?
Yeah. How about you guys?
It's a B for me.
Yeah, entertaining. A lot of the topics, not up my alley. Mm. I did like the I watched the Kickstarter one. It was like,
yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, those are fun.
I like the Kickstarter ones. I'd go B.
Okay.
B.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's great. I like him, but it's and make this very clear for anybody watching, because I know there's people in comments like, who are you guys to rank these? We know, again, that we're bottom tier. So
we're like an E.
Yeah, we're not trying to put ourselves at any list. Chris, how are we doing on time?
I haven't even checked because I'm doing both. How about you, Ricky?
Here he is.
I did.
What did he say?
I made it fast, bro.
He said B. He hasn't explained anything much, so I don't hear
him. We'll try to rapid fire the last. What do we have left?
I think we have.
Yes. Retro Rick's game point. We should have led with this, bro.
Dude, my bad. Sorry. Bro, I can't see.
Solid F.
I can't see.
This channel sucks.
That's exactly what Rick says. He goes in the high-pitched voice mode.
I like Retro Rick's game point. I like the straightforward of owning a store. I think it's a good aspect on it. I'll give him a solid A. I truly do enjoy this. He comes to me for help still, and I do his main channel, everything, thumbnails, videos, but he still will come to help, like, for help with, you know, possible cleanups and some titles and thumbnails and stuff, but he's killing it.
The content for me is the best because it's video game store and it's behind the scenes. I almost wish I had a YouTube channel doing that.
I don't know why you don't, by the way.
I know, I probably should. So I can relate to it so much. What he's done with his store is pretty incredible. You know, from when, prior to him even buying his store, him and I talked through, you know, you guys, we become good friends, and still as store owners, we still talk. So to see what he's done with the store and all the new ideas, and I'm impressed as a store owner what he's done. So I love it. I'd give it an S. And that's not just because I'm friends with him.
I want to give him an F so much because it's Rick.
I wanted to give it a T, an E, and an F, but I couldn't. It is an S for me. I do love it.
Okay.
All right.
So. Ricky?
I like this. I like Rick a lot.
I'm not asking if you like Rick. I'm asking if you like Retro Rick's game point YouTube channel.
I do, but because I enjoy his employees. I love seeing the guys. Like, oh, yeah,
I low-key like his employees more than I like Rick.
Dude, his employees are different. Yeah, his employees are just different. They're awesome people.
They're awesome. But I do enjoy it. It's like Pawn Stars without the expert, because Rick's an expert.
that would be his tagline. Retro Rick's game point. It's Pawn Stars with no experts.
And I'm just giving an A. I don't need to go into depth with him. He's good.
Shout out to video game, like that. Video game store employees, though, because they are some of the best people.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Last one.
I have 30 of them.
We have to.
Renix
P-Sale.
Honest truth. Phoenix Resale, original channel, S. One of the best things I've seen. Renix P-Sale, Caleb, do not decrease my pay. It is so boring to me. E. I'm an ADD. I need Cody with a K. I need edits. I need Kid Icarus. I need it. I'm sorry, Caleb. I love... What are you doing over there, Curse?
You're trying to get him on. All right,
E, what do you got?
I watched this one today for the first time. I thought at first it was a joke. I was like, what? I was like, what is Renix P-Sale? I thought it was just a joke. And I went and clicked on it.
And it still was a joke.
But for me, like, you know, he's talking about selling on Amazon. He's talking about the back end of it. He's talking about developing an app and the whole, like, in-depth reselling of it.
Yeah.
It is stuff that I could watch. The opposite of how you can't watch it.
Yeah.
I sat and watched, like, a ton of his videos today.
Wow.
I love it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I actually like this is stuff that I can relate to. For me, it's an S.
Right. Okay. All right. That's why
it is S for me.
No, that's a C.
Ricky?
That's...
I actually enjoy Renix Phoenix, not going to lie.
Who's Renix Phoenix? It's Renix P-Sale.
Renix Phoenix. Because that's what Cuckoo calls it.
That's what my daughter called it. I already know.
Oh, that's awesome. All right.
I enjoy it. It's not like his main channel, but I'll still give it a solid C. I enjoy it. I can watch it.
All right. Were you were F?
E,
I can't watch it. I don't think we've had one
more. I'm going to tell you, it's a snooze fest for me. I don't think I could sit through and watch the analytics of a channel and just watch him basically pack and ship his own work. Watching somebody else do work, I'll be like,
work hard enough. Yeah.
I love you, Caleb, you know that. I'm going to put you at a D, sir.
Now, I will skate. We did skip Retro Bird because we're kind of in a hurry right now. Retro Bird, I'm giving an A, just throwing it out there because I love that guy. He's one of my favorite humorous guys. we need to have him on the podcast too.
Oh, I'm down. I don't want to forget him. So, you know, we're gonna start off like who got the highest. I would say it was GameSack and Kid Icarus, and the lowest, DK Oldies.
I think nobody on the internet's gonna argue with that. Although I'm gonna send Sean a screenshot of him right next to DK Oldies. Oh, okay.
Man. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So I heard you guys have something cooking up for your event. What is it?
For SoCal. So what bomb do we want to drop first? Are we going to talk a little bit of... Or are we going to toss, here I am, doing everything I can? Which one?
Oh, man.
Which one is the bigger bomb to drop?
Let's go with the...
Why don't you tell him? You kind of... By the way, that was not the Tetris theme song. Ben's back there just crying with all 100 copies he has.
The funny thing is I was trying to figure out what I was like, what are they talking about? I was like,
what? All right, go ahead. This is an S show right now.
So that big announcement for SoCal Gaming Expo, June, you could give our shout out, June 8th and 9th.
Yep. All right, so guys, if you haven't heard it already, SoCal Gaming Expo is going to be June 8th and June 9th of 2024. Get your tickets now. They're still available all the way up until the event. I'm going to tell you right now, the link will be in the description with the site name and everything.
SoCalRetroGamingExpo.com.
Boom.
So let me just preface even talking about the announcement. But when we bought SoCal, right, it was a very slimmed down, bare bones, call it vendor show, I would say.
It was like almost like a trade show between vendors.
Yeah, and it was still a good show. And it was well intended. Yeah, no, nothing against Jay. That's the way Jay likes to run his shows. When we bought it, the intent was...
I just wanted to say that's the way game chasing go.
Yeah, which is right. That's game chasing, if you want to go game chasing. But the idea was to obviously enhance that, have more, you know, a lot of other things.
Yep.
So one thing that we'd been working on for a long time, not necessarily a long time. Let me just say what the announcement is. The Tetris World Championships will be moving from Portland Retro Gaming Expo, where it's been for quite a long time.
Long years.
Yeah, a long time, to SoCal Gaming Expo.
That's big news, by the way.
It is really big news.
That is huge. Such a downplay.
Any of you guys ever been to it, first of all?
Yes.
You have. I've been to it 1 year as well. It is, to me, absolutely incredible.
They're so good.
It is unbelievable. And when I went to Portland, I want to say maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago, I ended up sitting in the Tetris World Championships for literally like 75% of the time watching that. I absolutely just loved it. So I had developed a relationship with Vince Clemente, who is the owner of that, of the World Championships. He founded it.
Yeah.
And that was probably maybe 5 or 6 years ago, through the stores, because Vince actually lives here in Long Beach. And so for a variety of reasons, Vince had wanted to move that show.
Yeah.
And it was almost just like perfect timing that we bought SoCal while Vince was considering wanting to move the Tetris World Championships, and for a variety of reasons. One is just proximity to Vince lives here.
Yeah.
Right. And I shouldn't speak for Vince. Vince maybe will come on.
Want him on the podcast, because I'd love to hear about, I mean, the Tetris World Championships is huge. This isn't just like, you know, a game that nobody shows up to these events. I mean, this is thousands and thousands of people come to this.
Yes, thousands. Yeah, and they come from all over the world. Like, they do regionals for the Tetris World Championships. We do one at Retro World. I know Game On Expo has one. I want to say they even do them in like Germany, and they're flying in, you know, participants in this from all over the world now. It's certainly it's grown year over year, and so to have it is awesome. One of the other reasons that Vince wanted to move it, from what he's told me, is that, you know, it being in Los Angeles, people flying in from all over the world, it's a lot easier to get to Los Angeles flights if you're coming from Japan, let's say, than necessarily to Portland.
Yeah.
So super excited to have them.
Dude, it's so cool.
We're still in early planning.
Well, and the big reason it's even bigger right now, I mean, at the time of us filming this, I know it's changed a little bit, I think Blue Scooty is his name, is the kid who just hit the final screen on Tetris. I watched like the whole documentary about it. Actually, before this, funny enough, while I was running, it was like an hour run. It was like an hour video about it. And it was basically going through. Tetris is like really catching momentum right now. Like, as far as like, I know it's always been Tetris, it's always been big, but I'm actually finding myself being more interested in it, because I was never too interested in it as a player myself. But after watching this and watching the way these kids and these people are just rolling their fingers and with their gloves on and all the different techniques to get these scores, it's caught my attention. It's caught the attention of major news networks. There are people are covering this thing like crazy. So it like the announcement of them moving the finals to SoCal during this was like a huge like peak moment, a climax, so to say. Something Curtis doesn't experience very often. It's happening during this.
Yo, it didn't hit Chris until just now.
Because I was going to say it's like a Tetris, and then I was thinking it's like a climax.
So, but it's, anyways, it couldn't be a better time for right. this all to happen.
It was once. All perfect, perfect timing with us buying the show and Vince and knowing him, and it just all really came together. Vince is such a good guy. He's so passionate about Tetris. He's built that thing from really just a small little like gathering of people to all these regionals across the world. And like you said, with just the timing of Blue Scooty.
Yeah, Scuddy Scooty, yeah.
Scuddy or Scooty beating it. So I don't see there being any decrease in interest in it anytime soon.
No.
And I think it's going to be one of the highlights of the show this year. It's going to be incredible.
So do I.
Dude, just to see like them play Tetris, like, I mean, like, they, you see the techniques and like that, and like they tapped. Like, I was so like mind blown. I actually saw my first competition watch. I think I was in Game On.
Game On, yeah.
I was just sitting there and I'm just mesmerized. They start at like such a fast speed, and I'm like, there's just no way I could ever compete in this type of style of game.
It's unbelievable.
And you would think there's not many intricacies, right? Because when you run through, you see, watch a speed run of a game, right? Let's say a first-person shooter, or not first-person shooter, dumb example, a third-person open-world game, right? There's Mario 64, and there's Ocarina of Time. There's glitches and ways to go this. There's all these different levels and water levels. But in this, you would think Tetris, okay, there's not going to be that too much to it. There is so much. I watched a whole breakdown of people with whiteboards, every frame of every color change and what every pattern. If you do two here, it might do a kill screen, all this stuff. And I was just like, this is crazy, the level of detail goes in this. So my respect level for Tetris has like flown through the roof after watching all this stuff.
Yeah, and what Vince, hearing him talk about what how people are always like still advancing year over year with it is pretty incredible. When they play it too, which I always thought was interesting, they do, like Vince and they developed a program, because if you remember original Tetris on NES, it was just one player. You couldn't even play it two player. I believe the Tengen Tetris you could.
Yes.
Yeah. But they created a software where, you know, it's keeping track of the Tetrises and who's up and the score differentials and a bunch of other stuff. That was a program created by them. When it's a funny story, when we the first year we did a regional at Retro World, Vince again lives here locally, and I was like, hey, can we do a regional? This was maybe like 4 years ago. Okay. And he was like, yeah, sure. He's like, but you need the program to run it. I was like, well, how am I going to get the program? I met Vince in like the parking lot of where my store is, and he handed me like two black boxes, which then I flew with the Tetris black boxes like on the plane, and they were like basically the computers to run that software.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
That's wild.
I know, it was crazy. So
that's some Matrix level stuff.
Yeah, I felt like it was like smuggling something. But it's just Tetris that computers.
And when we got SoCal too, like my biggest fear was like, let's get it and then do the same thing. Right. Not again, there's anything wrong with the same thing, but it's like, I didn't want to get it. You know, we're on YouTube. Like there's a little bit more, you know, face on us on our main channel. So it's like, I didn't want to take it over and be like, okay, we didn't do anything much different. So Tetris finals, huge. I mean, big. You guys will see when you go there that it's not like, oh, 10 people show up to this. I mean, it's thousands of people come to this. But there's one other thing that I kind of wanted to have in the works. These guys were excited about it. Chris and I went and are kind of making this happen. We're, as of right now, we don't know at this literal moment, but I'm 99% sure by the time this goes out that it'll be good to go. I wanted to do, and we're telling it now, like some sort of skateboarding thing, Tony Hawk tournament, right? But it's like, okay, everyone might do a Tony Hawk tournament, a Skate 3 like high score thing, or a Skate or Die type thing, right? Something in skate culture. It's very California, it's very me. But I was like, I don't want to just do that. I want it to take it to the next level. So what we're doing, why don't you tell them?
So we're going to have don't know the whole setup, but some sort of setup, whether it's a skate ramp, full skate ramp,
yep,
like a 5 foot, 3 foot, whatever it is, half pipe,
grind boxes, pyramids,
skate park type area on the main show floor.
And hiring actual pro skateboarders to be there skateboarding like during some of these events. to elevate it, to give you that full, like, this is a California game expo. This is where this stuff lives. This is where the Baker boys and the Huntington crew, like, this is where Andrew Reynolds, these people were bred, some of these biggest names in skateboarding. So real professional skateboarders will be there, and they're going to have a blast to themselves. I'm sure they're going to, once they're done skating, going to want to go kick it. What I'm trying to get done, and I pitched it yesterday, I want you to be able, Ricky, play skate against a pro, but how would that work? You're not a pro. Well, in skate 3, you can kick flip 5-0 the ledge. All right, kick flip backside 5-0. All right, pro, do it in real life. And that's what they said they'd be able to do.
Dang.
So you could play them skate video game versus real life.
Dude, that'd be actually insane.
I
know.
I thought of that yesterday while I was there pitching the idea to him. And he's like, yeah, we've done that before. And I was like,
so basically you're going to put up a screen and then you guys do the trick and then they're ready for it.
And then they have to do that. Well.
There's so many awesome things we can do with it. And first of all, I give you credit because it was your idea. And
but your guys' excitement for it got me excited. Yeah. Because I was afraid I'd pitch it and you guys were like, eh.
Well, then there's always ideas, right? You always come up with ideas like, oh, we should do this, we should do this. And then actually taking ideas and figuring out the logistics is like a whole nother step of it. So we went and met yesterday with the guys that build these ramps.
And we will say OC Ramps, great. Awesome, if anything, guy. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. I do it, please. If you do it, we might be working out something even bigger with them. Go support them, let you know we sent you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and these guys were awesome. They're local. They build these ramps all over the whole country. In fact, the world.
Victoria's Secret, they build ramps when they do events. They did the TMNT Mutant Mayhem premiere.
The craziest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ramp. It was green on the deck, right? And then purple on the sides. It was for the Mutant Mayhem, like you said, movie premiere. So some of the stuff they can do with the ramps is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm beyond excited for it.
I will say yesterday when we were there, you know, we're at OC Ramps and we're sitting there and I'm sitting at a table with Chris and I'm like, we're going over stuff and details and logistics. And I was like, I text my wife. I'm like living my childhood dream. And like, I couldn't be more thankful. Like I really am. Like, I'm like, I run a YouTube channel with all my homies, my best friends, talk about video games, nerd out podcasts. And now bringing skateboarding to an event in our area where I got to kick it with the community. I'm like, this is literally my dream. Like if you would have asked me 10 years ago, write down your dream path. I'd be like, yeah, like own a big event where it's a big doing YouTube about video games, talk with my friends, going to swap meet every weekend, bringing skateboarding culture into it. Like I am doing all of that. So I always, sometimes I have to like take it all in and be like, when I got done, I'm not going to lie, after I had lunch with you, I sat in my car and I was like, I got to like let it sit in that like I have to be thankful for this moment, because sometimes, you know, you don't know where life can take you. All that stuff can be gone in a year.
That's very important.
So I had to like let it settle
stop
in.
And smell the roses.
Dude, stop and smell the roses. Thank God is the first thing I did.
I have a sign in my house that says that.
Does it really?
It's to remind myself the same thing, to like pause and be like, damn, this is pretty awesome.
Ricky has a sign in his house that says, stop and smell the frijoles. Yeah.
My favorite sign.
Dude, I want that sign.
Dude, that's like the epitome of like probably what you have dreamed of. That's crazy to me. Cause like I'm sitting here, I'm almost hearing this like just as you guys are hearing it, because I didn't get
we didn't get to tell you about skateboarding.
Yeah, I didn't get like the breakdown of it. I just got like photos of him being there and I'm just like kind of jealous, because I'm like, man, like I love skateboarding too.
Yeah.
But not to the where it's like because Riff used to like really be good. Like he was a good, well, you're a flat ground skater for the most part.
I mean, I was good. Like I look at like, you know, early 90s skateboarding, you know, when I was like really into skateboarding, and the stuff I was doing was not much lower than a lot of the, you know, amateurs at the time, you know.
Yeah.
But I credit it before. Ryan Scheckler came on the scene, and that's when I really was like, okay, this new wave of Nyjah Houston and kids they're like next level. Almost like what happened with Tetris, right? These kids come in and they're just like, oh my gosh, they're phenoms. So all, you know, the granddads of it are just like, man, I'm good, but I'm not gonna switch cherry flip crooked grind that 12-stair rail, you know. I'm just not
like anything to. I mean, like with anything, like with sports, it seems like every year it like gets crazier and crazier and crazier. Like these guys are doing like 14 stairs. Ryan Scheckler's jumping off onto like a obscure hill and somehow landing it like with a kickflip behind it. And then like what I remember from my childhood is the vert skaters. Those events like Nitro Circus, the X Games, all those type
they're
of things
flashy.
Did extreme sports.
Yeah.
dude, you guys are kind of bringing that to like a small scale, but it's still there. Like, that's going to be crazy.
So like at Retro World, what we do, we have a wrestling ring.
Yes.
And at first, there was other shows that had done this. Like, I think Too Many Games was one of the first ones that had done it.
I remember that.
So we weren't necessarily the first, but we, when we decided maybe like 4 years ago, we were like, well, maybe we should implement this as well. You're kind of like, man, is this going to really work with the video game expo and stuff? But the meshing of the two, if you think about video games, like how important wrestling has been in the video game scene, right? With all the N64 games and stuff, and still to this day.
Yeah.
There's quite a few other shows now across the country, I want to say, video game expos that do have wrestling rings. They pair very, very well. Yeah. But one thing you have never seen, which is another type game, which is skateboarding games, are so important. If you think of the Tony Hawk games.
The Tony Hawk games is like one of those ones where you could ask almost anybody if they played Tony Hawk Pro Skater and like, oh yeah.
And I'm not a skateboard guy by any means. If you put me on a skateboard right now, I'd just flip out, yeah, fall on my, yeah, ass. Like I never have done it.
And that's what most people say, is they did that because they were never good enough to do the stuff you could do in a Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
When Tony Hawk Pro Skater came out, I played the heck out, yeah, of that game.
So all
of a
good.
Sudden, I was like,
so
dude, I'm good. A skateboarder. But I'm not. I don't, and like when we met with OC Ramps yesterday, I'm like, dang, I kind of wish I knew anything about this.
Like, it was so funny. We walked in and Chris like looked around and he's like, all right, this is your forte. You take the lead on this one. But it was like, I mean, it was so cool to go around and like look at all the ramps and all the way they did it, because as a kid, you always, you know, fantasized. And it was cool to see, which I actually would like to have him on, Tyler. We spoke with, because he was telling us his story, and he's another dreamer who made his lifelong dream come true. He was telling us when he was a kid, he would just build random ramps on the street. And before you know it, people are like, dude, where'd you get that? And he's like, I'll sell you one. And before you knew it, he built this empire. And it's like it's probably the biggest. I mean, they're known worldwide that everyone goes to OC. He showed us they're shipping ramps to Thailand right now and stuff because people want them.
It was an awesome operation. He was such a good guy. I think he said he started building those when he was like 17.
Yeah.
He was doing that.
He had everything we liked. We go in there. It's like, first thing we see is a giant Iron Maiden mural. I'm like, oh, Gabo, yep, would love that. Then he has Ninja Turtle action figures set up all over with toys. And I'm like, oh, Ricky would love that. And he's got guitars that you can grind outside. And I'm like, but like Chris was saying, and he said, he's like, we've never done this for like a video game type thing.
Nope.
No.
But it is crazy. Such, not 90s is so skateboarding, and it's so SoCal.
I think the closest they said they'd done to a video game was like CES. They said they did. Consumer Electronics Show.
But at that point, it was too just to like have people have something to look at.
Just something to look at. Yeah. So they've never actually done a video game expo. Yeah. And like you said, you know, this is almost like the birthplace of skateboarding, I would say. I don't know if it's a birthplace, but
not
it's like the
actual
home,
but it's such a like Lords of Dogtown. It's so surfy. It's so right. California. It's so.
So California.
No, I think
it's so.
So I think,
that culture.
I think Huntington Beach was the birthplace of skateboarding.
I will not hold that because I don't know, but I do know like the guys of my time, like the big guys I followed, so many of them were known as like the Baker Boys, the Huntington Crew. It was a lot of these guys that were like local to California.
Where was Lords of Dogtown? Where was that? Venice?
No, that's
I blanked.
I'm blanking up. Santa Cruz? Wait.
But it's definitely so Southern.
Santa it's NorCal. I think it's NorCal.
Oh, it is NorCal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to look. I think so, but ben, I'll have to go back to that. But you know what, like that experience of you guys bringing ramps inside, it kind of just reminds me of those days when you're watching Bam Margera on MTV and he built it in his house. Oh, yeah. Steve-O, who's actually built one in one of his houses,
yeah,
he specifically bought a place, like a separate place next to his apartment, and rented out an apartment and built a ramp in the side apartment, yeah, next to him.
This was like crazy. Like when we film this normally goes out a month after we film it. So check now like on our SoCal page and see, because there might be updates of who's coming. I know Bam wants to come. We just have to see logistics on our ends and all that stuff. But even as far as that, we sat down so yesterday last night and worked on guests, man.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
We got to, we can't say like, because none of them are confirmed. They all are on the list of people who can come. We just haven't hit like the check yet.
I know.
There are some people on there that are
there's some good
so
names
fun
on there.
I know Riff's pulling out all his Rolodex of cards. He's like, hey, you owe me this?
Oh, no.
You owe me this?
No, there's some that nobody brings to video game expos. Nobody.
Wow.
Because they're like so interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say one of them?
I wouldn't say any announcements yet.
No announcement. Maybe we shouldn't say.
Yeah.
Just say that one. Yeah.
Can I say the one I was most excited about?
All right.
I know which one you're gonna say.
I know which one you're gonna say too. Actually, I think
but none of these are confirmed.
I won't say his name yet.
All right. Well, I think there was
he
something
was
that
E.T.
we. What?
He was E.T.
No way.
I won't say his name yet.
That's actually kind of crazy.
He was the man who played E.T.
There is something we need to get off for vendor availability.
Yeah.
Do you have any logistics on it?
So we have about 54 like vendor booths, 10 by 10s
yeah.
left.
Which is nothing.
So like 70% filled right now is what we're at?
Yeah, and as for the artist, there's like three spots left. So if you guys are watching this, they're probably gone by now.
So let me put this in perspective. How many booths did we have originally total available?
170 something, and I think now it was we're up to 238,
right? Or two.
Yeah. We're at 228 or 238.
Which is, I'm letting you guys know, that's a lot. Like, that's a lot compared to a lot of expos you go. This is a very large number. So we had to make room because they sold real fast. So it probably is going to be less by the time this video goes out.
Of course, yeah.
So if you want it, just go for it. Get in there because it's going
to
be wild.
And you don't have to be like a professional, you know, expo reseller either. Like maybe you have a big collection of games that you want to sell. A lot of times vendors like that do really well at shows.
I was going to say, sometimes those are my the funnest vendors.
They're the best vendors. Yeah. You know, if you just have a big collection, it's the great way to sell. You can have a great time at the weekend. You get passes to the show included with it. So what other type of vendors are we looking for, Rick?
Anything. If you have toys, games, like vintage, like clothing, like even like video game clothing, dude, people love that kind of stuff at the expos. That's what I look for at the expos. I'm like,
me too.
Well, the oddball stuff. Yeah. I don't care what it is. If it's oddball, I love it.
Yeah, pop culture, even like VHS, anything vintage, 80s, 90s.
I saw records.
When you guys see the guests, again, don't know who will be announced yet by the time this goes out, but you'll see that it's not like, we also wanted to focus on like nostalgia, right? Yes. Like we know you like Back to the Future. We know you like E.T. Like we want to make sure that not just video games, like we're very passionate about like movies and people who are in these movies and things that are very like, what we were saying on the phone last night is like some of the guests we're inviting, like it's almost like you didn't know that you wanted them to be there until you walk by and you're like, that guy's here? Yeah. Like, it's going to be that, which I'll tell you after. There's going to be a lot of those people where you're like, wait, what? Like, what's he doing here?
Because you know, like, I love movies. So
so that's kind of what we wanted to bring into a lot of like nostalgia as well.
And one of the best benefits of being here in Los Angeles is, of course, Hollywood. Yep. And there's all these people that live around here. It's much different than like Retro World in Connecticut, flying people.
Put it this way, we're looking at a list of people who potentially want to come, and like if they didn't live in California, they have to put like, you know, CHI, like they live in Chicago or
Texas.
VAN, like Vancouver. 90% of it was California.
Wow.
So it was like sweet. Gnarly. It was almost like five people out of 70 were not, you know. Oh, so
one of the guys I really wanted down, but he's far.
Who is it? You can say it.
Star Fox voice.
Yeah. Look at Chris with all the Star Fox stuff. He's like, who cares about that?
Ricky, where can they reach you to be able to get these vendor spots?
So you can just go on SoCal. Wow.
SoCalRetroGamingExpo.com.
Yeah. All right. Sick.
That's our expo.
Or if you have questions or you want to email, it's Ricky@SoCalRetroGaming.com.
Sick. Ricky, he got it out.
I can't put my finger in it.
I'm like, all right.
But like I said, guys, if you guys haven't yet, get your tickets right now. SoCal Gaming Expo June 8th and June 9th of 2024. And the Tetris World Championships are coming. It's 7th through the 9th. So it's going to be big.
And other big stuff in the works, too.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of other things.
We're not done. I just wanted to make sure that like we're keeping up to, you know, I never want to go down in a legacy of not even like our name, but like of SoCal Expo. Like, we were the owners and it was like mid. Like, I don't want to do that. I want you guys to show up and be like, is that guy? Holy cow. Are people skateboarding? Like pro skaters? Is the Tetris champion? Like, I want that with
me too.
Excess of booths for people who want to hunt or resell or collect. I want all that opportunity there for everybody.
And I think it's gearing up for what it's going to be as like a great weekend event. Not just like a one day go buy games. Yeah. It's like come and, you know, spend community the whole event. Weekend there Pasadena. With your friends and hang out. And so it's going to be incredible.
And I want to say thank you to everyone that already like applied and got boosts, because, dude, that's amazing. You guys are honestly like, you guys are awesome.
Ricky's been the vendor guy, so he's been working with you guys, been working with him, and he's been Ricky's been doing great on that too.
Dude, you guys are thank you so much for who all you guys, because honestly, it means a lot.
I guess we're just gonna go on our next one. It's gonna be one of my favorites, agree or disagree. I get one of those, don't I?
Yeah, bro, you get one. Here you go, Juan Talamela.
All right, we're gonna go on to one of my our first ones. It's gonna be nobody wants more Fire Emblems characters on Super Smash Brothers. Holy cow, let me get it out. Woo!
So basically we're done with, I mean obviously the Smash Bros roster is done, but you're talking about during the announcements of Smash characters.
Dude, I just don't want anymore.
I'm gonna put my thumb up because I will admit I was one of those people so hyped about every Smash announcement. Every time it was another dang Fire Emblem character, I would throw my mouse and be like, I don't care anymore. Enough. We have 20 of them. No, I don't know how many we have.
I would say I'm a little bit more on board on that just because I don't play the Fire Emblem games too much, and I don't care to see their characters in it. So I'm going to agree. I don't want them anymore, but
we peaked at you guys. We peaked at Roy and Marth.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to agree, but I do love playing those characters, but at the same time, I'm like, what some of these characters?
Yeah, I that's what it was, and I get it because like right we never played those type of games very much, so it was more like this. They announced, and now up next, Pyra. I'm like, who? And I'm like, dude, I'm a Nintendo fan. Like, I feel like I lose my Nintendo card when I'm scratching my head at announcements.
What's all, your? You, all I main is Fire Emblem characters.
Really? Don't you suck at the game though?
I don't even play Super Smash.
Oh, wow, dude. I think I'm just not like
it means nothing to me. I've only played that game like once or twice, so I could care less.
Oh, okay.
I just like how you're just like waiting to say it too.
I think they were so smart to listen to the big, you know, the big draws that everybody wanted. Everybody wanted Ridley. Everybody wanted Banjo-Kazooie. These are the ones the internet flipped out on. Now, I will say, I guess it works both ways, because I will admit, as much as that was my reaction to like Fire Emblem characters and stuff like that, I will say that I would see, you know, younger YouTube streamers or younger Twitch streamers, they saw like Simon Belmont announced and they're like, who? And I was like, wow. We're old. Like, they don't know who Simon Belmont is. Curtis is still wondering who that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there that many Fire Emblem?
Do you really not know?
No. No.
Stop it.
He's messing with us.
No.
Swear on your life.
I swear on my life.
Swear, shake my hand.
I will.
It's Castlevania.
No, I never really played those games as much. I wouldn't know the name for it.
Oh, true. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Like I said, younger YouTube people.
But is there, so you're younger. Is there that many Fire Emblem like people that like Fire Emblem? I know it's a popular game, but I didn't.
So like competitively, I've seen a lot of people use like Blythe and those type of characters. And like, they're just, I feel like they're kind of OP on those games compared to like the normal characters you would normally see, like Mario and Pikachu and all that stuff.
There was a period where I mained Roy. Roy's our boy.
Roy's our
GameCube.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, man. I feel like that was just an overpowered sword swing every time I faced one of those guys.
Very powerful.
So, I don't know, man. Yeah. I'm not a big RPG fan either, so, I mean, it just didn't really play into my funness.
Yes.
But we're going to go on our next one. It's going to be, there will never be another game like Def Jam Fight for New York. Now, I saw this because I saw this, like, someone talking about it, so I'll wait.
Yeah, I would say give me a little more marination.
Okay, so
I'm not a big Def Jam fight guy.
So Def Jam Fight for New York, it's basically like all the early 2000 rappers. Mm-hmm. Like you had Lil' Kim, Exhibit, you had Snoop Dogg. I only am saying this is that there won't be another game like that, is because artists know their value now. So I don't expect them all to agree to be on the same game without getting their pay.
I would say, so sure, I'll agree with you, but I like this more as a conversation. I kind of like this. I'm not necessarily worried about my vote on this because this is interesting to me. That's an interesting topic, actually.
And so, like, I think it's just because, like, you know, you have all these individuals who are wanting to get their money nowadays. Like, artists just know their value, to where it's like, if you were to put Taylor Swift in the game, just know that game's going to be $1 zillion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is there anything like that current, like, where they're like, you know, Celebrity Deathmatch, Def Jam, but has there been anything recently
where you can customize and fight those characters?
Well, this doesn't count the same, but Death Stranding was Norman Reedus from Walking Dead, Daryl, but that's just one.
Yeah.
Let me give you like some of the list of characters that are actually on Def Jam.
Can I guess one?
Is Method Man on there? He's got to be. I never really played Def Jam myself either.
Let me,
Is Ice Cube on there? Biggie Smalls?
Biggie Smalls would have been awesome.
Is Eminem on there?
No.
Racist.
let me do it right now. Let me look up the character list from it. And it's pretty big. So let's see.
Come on, blind
man. So the funny part is, why is Joe Budden on there? He wasn't like
Joe
really...
Biden's on there?
No.
That's what I heard
no,
too.
No, Joe Budden. Joe Budden. So there's Kimora Lee. Remember
I don't
her?
Know who that is.
You don't remember it. Russell Simmons' ex-wife.
Isn't that a fighting move?
I don't know who that is.
A Kimora Lee?
No.
I don't
way.
Know who that is.
Kimora?
So yeah, Lil Kim, Ludacris. Well, yeah,
Ludacris.
Method Man was on there. You had oh my gosh, there's a crazy amount of people on here. Prodigy, Redman was on there. Fat Joe. Yeah, Flavor Flav. I remember Flavor Flav, dude. That was crazy.
Boy.
Yeah, boy. Ice-T was in there. Even Jacob the Jeweler, the guy who used to make like jewelry for high-end.
He's in there?
Yeah.
At least he knows.
See, I've never really played the game, but I would disagree that they would never come out with that again.
Really?
One, because that game is superly popular right now.
Yeah.
Price-wise, too. It is like, I think it's like $150.
I got up $3 last year.
Did you?
Yeah,
I think it's up to $150. There has always been just such a like scene behind it. People love it. I think it's been long enough now that like you could have some pretty awesome characters that aren't on that list. Even some older ones like M&M's and 50 Cent's and stuff like that. But there's enough newer rappers like Kanye's not even new, but Kanye could be on there. I don't know.
Who is
Mills.
A new rapper? Tekashi? Something?
No.
You would put Tekashi 6ix9ine would certainly be in there. But I think a lot of those rappers have enough big names and followings. Like, it would be pretty awesome if they did release that.
Yeah.
Is there current big rappers right now? Like, who are the big names?
I mean, like it's like if you were to see like a game with like Drake, or you would see like a game with like
Kanye.
Like, even if like a throwback, you saw like a Mac Miller on there, a Post Malone. These are white rappers. And then also,
thanks for clarifying.
It's not the same rap as back in the
it's
day.
Not
this is,
too.
This is more
these
R&B.
Are,
is it mumble rap?
Yeah, like I mean, it depends, right? Like, you would have to sign these artists to a deal to be
I don't
able
know
to
how
the
they
rights.
Ever put that together with Def Jam. Who on earth did that, and how did they get the rights to do it? I have no idea. So, but I mean, one thing I would say is those rappers are probably always down for a few extra bucks. I would think that they would enjoy it if somebody came to them and was like, "Hey, you can be in this game. You're going to get X, Y, Z." I would be like, "Shit,
$1 million
in a game, yeah, $1 million, $500,000
Yeah, I always wondered like how they even did like skating ones. You know, what I mean, where they had to actually get like P-Rod.
You can watch. I forget the name of the podcast, The Nine Club. Tony Hawk lays out how much he made.
Yeah, no, I actually did watch that.
Multi-millions of dollars.
He said he didn't realize that he was getting a ton of money until he saw his first check cut for the first like sell of his game, and he was like, that's just one check.
Was it like $4 million or something?
It was something insane.
He's probably made half a billion dollars off of
it. Oh, dude, that was such a big franchise for a while. I mean, it still is. They've kind of fallen a little bit. Then they did the HD remasters, which were nice. But
well, and like, I don't know how they do it with like NFL games and MLB games. They probably just have one like
license.
Thing that licensed, and then it just gets trickled through like MLB or NFL. Mm. So obviously you don't have that with rappers, but
yeah, I don't know.
I think they could figure it out.
It would be cool. I would honestly
love to
see it.
It would be pretty awesome, actually. Yeah, I think people would buy it for sure.
I mean, even if they did throwbacks of those like characters that are maybe like, I mean, like people that maybe aren't like here. Like if you had like a Tupac Biggie like fight.
Yeah, like Tupac and Biggie like in it.
That'd be insane.
Like
Legends
collection. Like Legends, yeah.
Like they did with the WWF games. It was like Legends and it had like
on
the cover.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's fun.
Yeah, like, I'd want to play as Biggie Smalls.
That's an interesting topic.
Dude, that actually makes me like want to like play Def Jam again right through it all. Like where you can customize yourself with like platinum. Yeah, $200, dude.
Yeah.
If you could play
never emulate
Biggie Smalls versus Tupac in a game, that'd be pretty awesome.
Oh, gosh.
That'd be pretty
oh,
epic.
Boy.
Dude, imagine, I mean, like imagine just like any of those type of like older rappers to fight each other. Like what if you had your 3-6 Mafia fighting some people, dude?
I saw people in the comments like, hey, Riff, flex, my boy.
Yeah, all right, we're gonna go on our next one. We might sound like dumb people just talking, but
we know we are.
Yeah, but we're gonna go on to this one. It's gonna be movie theaters are still the best way to watch movies.
Oh man, I want to agree so bad, but when
so
I'm gonna say yes overall.
So all them agree, and then I'm disagreeing with it. So I'm gonna let you guys.
I will say I just saw Godzilla Minus One in theaters.
Oh, such a good,
fantastic movie.
So good.
But I knew it the second this lady sat down next to me, and I was like, "Gosh, dang it, I could just tell she's one of those fidgeters, kind of talks a little too loud, like when she talks to her husband. And it didn't ruin the movie for me, but I would find myself thinking like, oh, I hope she doesn't talk during this part. So it kind of, it pushed me out. There was a couple scenes in that movie where it goes pitch silent for like 30 seconds. And I was out of the moment because I was thinking, oh man, I hope she doesn't make a noise to ruin this moment, which in return ruined my moment of being in that moment. So it just depends. I know there's people who will have their phone on, which Chris said he does and turns his brightness on really low, which really messes with it. I will say it still is the best because it's just, there's so much to it. You can get the popcorn. I want the experience. I want the popcorn. I want the crap candy. I want to have the processed junk, which you sneak in before, obviously. You go to the store before and sneak it in. But I still will say it's the best way, so I agree. But I do have my hiccups.
You can go.
I agree with it too because I love the family aspect of it. Yeah. Like if I'm sitting at home, it is so difficult for me, like with my wife and son, to be like, hey, come watch a movie. They're all like, what? We're doing something. No, I'm cooking. No, I've got to do laundry. Like if I'm like, hey, we have a movie time at 7:45. Like we got to go now. I get my whole family together. I get to go, all go in, sit down. It's quiet. Nobody's getting up, getting distracted in the house.
Yeah.
Plus the popcorn and stuff.
Ricky, what's your favorite movie snack?
My favorite movie snack?
Yeah.
Ooh. It's like the worst afterwards.
Sour Skittles?
Sour Skittles.
I know.
It's so good during, but at the end, I'm like, oh, what did I just eat?
My wife and son are sour everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't eat sour. I can't do anything sour. It makes me literally go.
It hurts.
Like it hurts my mouth so bad.
It's like Flaming Hot Cheetos. You eat it and you know it burns, but you just
keep eating it.
I remember having Flaming Hot Cheetos so many. The bathroom that night felt like Satan was passing through my anus.
Like a flamethrower?
Was this the original Hot Cheetos? Because I swear they're different now.
Yeah, the 90s Cheetos when there was no regulations.
Those did not pass very well.
I just was. What about you, Curtis?
My favorite snack was Bunch of Crunch. I don't know if you guys ever knew those ones.
You were so white.
Dude, I liked... Dude, that's my favorite candy. The rice chocolate candy. Those are my favorite, dude. I used to get those and the watermelon Sour Patch.
Those are good. Those are great.
Those were killer.
I like just like gummies.
But
me too.
The so reason
you disagreed, yeah.
Yeah, the reason why I disagree is just, I don't know, man, my wallet just hurts right after.
It does hurt.
Like, where it's like, but also, sometimes it's not the experience I'm always, like, paying for. Like, sometimes you'll go and, like, maybe you didn't go early enough or something like that, and then your neck is sitting, and you're, like, watching the screen while you're tilting up trying to see this big old screen, trying to see that, like, that experience with everybody else, and it's like, you don't feel it.
This sounds like a Curtis problem. You got this too late.
No, but you got to think about how many times did you go into a theater where it was, like, a sold-out theater, and maybe like there was like people just like scattered apart and you're not like you're with somebody and you're not alone and then you got to figure out a spot.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, and now you have to reserve seats.
So what's a ticket price now? 14?
$5 oh, yeah. Ron, that's
dude,
still?
It's up there. 15.
14, yeah, I like to pay for the big ones.
So, the big ones are nice.
All right, so you want to know the best cost-cutting tip?
Matinee
in the hood?
No.
Slip it in?
I don't think I've gone to a movie in the last 10 years as an adult ticket. I'm either a senior or I'm a child.
Wow.
I am forever.
Wow. My God.
We do not condone this lying behavior.
I thought he was going to say something different.
Around?
I get three children tickets or three senior tickets, and they never check. And I've probably saved thousands of dollars over the years doing that.
Yo, dude, you know, dang, I've never heard somebody waxing the movie theater.
Get away with it, Chris. Doesn't make us right.
Yeah, dude, that's actually insane, dude.
Jeez, Chris. Well, hey, no hate.
No hate, man.
They don't check on
I thought you were going to say something like that we all do, like sneak in food, but no.
Well, that's just as much, right? You sneak in food. You're cutting. And I don't sneak in food.
True.
So.
I have to admit, I do sneak in food. So,
what's the biggest thing you've sneaked in, like, to eat?
A whole pizza.
My wife will bring in, like, a venti coffee.
A family size Lay's potato chips.
I sneak Curtis in my pocket.
Dude, I mean, I got creative. I bought, like, a liter of soda. I bought, like,
liter
pizza.
Liter cola.
Yeah.
You know that's from? Liter of cola.
It's what?
Liter of cola. You know that's from?
No.
Super Troopers. Super Troopers. My wife recently went to the theater with all the kids. She took like six kids like a week ago. I totally forgot about this. And she was in there and she said it was like a meth head party. And it was like in a nice theater. She's like, everyone in there outside. She's like, she was texting me when she was outside. She's like, there's a lot of like crackhead looking people out here. And I was like, well, just be weary. And then she texts me like 30 minutes later. She's like, I just got a refund. She's like, it was literally like insane in that place. People screaming, yelling. Like, my kids were like, dude, people were moaning. And I was like, all right, what? Take the gun with you.
Hey, do you guys
time,
finally disagree now? Just kidding.
Yeah, I know, right?
Imagine that's your experience.
Talked myself out.
No. All right, we're going to go on to our next statement. Yes. We got to switch it. Let's say Microsoft will never win another console war.
Oh, that hurts me to hear.
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
I disagree with that.
Ricky?
I just think they're not going to make a console anymore. I think they're done doing consoles. I think they're going to just straight up say, here's a PC. That's all you get, sucker.
He might not be far off with that. I don't even know if consoles themselves, like the actual console, will be much of a thing. Obviously, Stadia came out and failed miserably. But I feel like the concept was there, but just not executed.
Plus, they're not putting much more money into it, if you think about it. Like, Microsoft, they're not putting their A titles out anymore. There's no more Gears. There's nothing, like, that I actually want to play on.
Well, even when they do, they're just lackluster. Like, they put out a new Halo, and it was, like, everyone was like, that came and went. But the only reason I said no is because anything's possible. Like, I don't know. They could come up with this new IP, and it's this new game where everybody in the world is just like, this is the greatest game ever. I know Starfield is out right now, and I think that's a Microsoft exclusive, right?
I don't know, actually. I would have to
look think it is, and I think it did pretty well, but not like crazy well. But you just don't know, because there was a time when Atari and Coleco thought they were the kings, right? Well, and then Mario gets created, and there was a time where Nintendo and Sega were around and was like, nope, no one will ever beat us. And then someone new, Xbox, popped in, right? And they were a king for that a generation. I think even Xbox 360.
360 was probably their best.
They were kind of like their goats.
It's 360 way outsold the PS3.
Yeah.
Way
and,
outsold.
And you just never know. They could come back. I don't know if they will, so I won't say no.
Who would you say is the console king right now?
Nintendo.
Is it Nintendo?
I think Sony is outselling, maybe outselling. I don't know. We don't want to sound stupid. Ben, you know back there?
Performance-wise, it's PlayStation. Nintendo, I would say, is winning the...
Like units.
Units, yeah. Sold and like more people.
But I also feel like, you know, they call them Sony ponies or Nintendo fanboys, whatever you want to call it. But I feel like Nintendo does have the largest, like... Band. Dedicated people who love what it is, right? Like, I think the vast majority will choose Sony over Xbox or Microsoft, but I feel like everyone, it's like they're not even in the fight. Like, you see, there's memes of like Sony and Xbox like punching each other, and then Nintendo's just off the side like eating popcorn because they're their own thing.
You go, Chris.
Well, I was gonna say, if Nintendo is winning now, which I feel like they probably are, I bet you they've sold more units
for sure.
Xbox. I don't know.
They're more accessible too. There was more of them made. Like, they actually prepared for it.
Yeah, which to me is awesome. First off, of course, love Nintendo. But when was the last time they were actually winning?
Who?
Nintendo against like PlayStation. When the PlayStation 1 came out, Sony, I believe, killed them.
Did. And then PS2 also.
And then PS2 killed them. And then Xbox 360 came out, and Nintendo had like the Wii U got destroyed. So when was the last time Nintendo actually won? Was it the Super Nintendo?
I don't know. I know when the Switch came out,
I think the Switch.
We're actually
pretty
wrong.
Good.
Actually, in unit wise for console, is actually PS5.
Wow,
and,
more than a Nintendo Switch
for this year to date. Yeah,
not year to date,
but like overall
for 2023. Like, I mean, 2024 just started. So I mean,
no, I want to know what's stats right now.
I have to look at the numbers, but I mean, like they're saying it like
total.
Because if you do like December, you're going to get like PlayStation 4 or 5, because everyone already has a Switch.
Christmas.
Yeah, it has to be who has sold the most overall. Switch,
but,
PS5.
But then again,
are
PlayStation's numbers lower because people can't even get PlayStations?
Yeah. Well, it's actually crazy.
But that's a PlayStation problem.
So in December, this is from IGN, he said that they sold over 50 million units since this last year.
Switch?
PlayStation.
Last year alone.
I think because all of a sudden they were this was the first year that they've actually been readily available.
Yeah.
At MSRP of, I think, 400.
I've only ever seen one.
Do you want to know what's funny? Is I bet you a lot of those guys that were scalpers are like stuck with a ton of them right now.
I heard a bunch of people did. Yeah.
There's some happiness to that.
Oh, it makes me happy.
But the Switch was pretty readily available through all of that. I don't remember that much scalping of that going on.
No, but it's kind of hard to hear, right? Like when you don't really see Xbox in contention, because Microsoft just seems to want to buy a bunch of game developers, but they're not creating any exclusive titles for their console to save it, right? PlayStation has a few, like if you were to play God of War playthrough or Spider-Man, which that was a fantastic game, they're really not going too crazy with it. You know what I mean?
I feel like neither of them are. I will admit that I've been liking my PlayStation 5 now more than current Xbox, which I originally was all about new Xbox. I was kind of underwhelmed by both, but even though I am playing my PlayStation 5 more, I do look at it sometimes and I'm like, neither is blowing me away, right, with what they're offering me. I know there are the good games, there are the God of Wars, there are the Spider-Mans, but for some reason, I don't know if we just hit peak gaming or something, but or maybe because I'm not as young as I used to be when everything was exciting as the Super Nintendo. There's also something to it like movies. When you scroll Netflix, you could be scrolling through 50 masterpieces, but nothing sticks out because you're scrolling through 50 masterpieces. So even if I'm scrolling through the PlayStation Premium Store, the Xbox Game Pass, you could be scrolling past 50 games you don't even know are amazing, but it loses its lackluster because they're all so available, right? Imagine going to a kid, being a kid in the 90s, going to a rental store and you see all the Super Nintendo games. Oh my gosh, it's insane. And you want to pick one. You're like, I'm going to get that one. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. And you go home and it's ActRaiser and you fall in love with it, but you didn't know what it was. But imagine going to that same store and the guy's like, oh yeah, you could just pick all of them. You take all of them home. You're like, sweet. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then you go home and you're like, this one, put it in for 20 minutes. Next, because you know that all the other ones are there. So yeah. I feel like they just lose that like feeling of being special. So I feel like I haven't had a game feel special to me in like a while.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The other thing, I've been going more to playing my Switch more recently is because the simplicity of some of those games. I'm playing Pikmin 4 right now, which I can pick up.
Let's go.
And just, I love it so much.
Ricky and I said like D tier.
I love it. And I can pick it up and play it for a little bit. And I know that the length of the whole game is probably like max 30 hours. Versus if I tried playing, what was the new game that came out that was like, oh, it was Lies of Pi? Is it Lies?
Life of Pi?
Life of Pi?
Is that a movie?
No, Lies of Pi. It was the Pinocchio.
I know, I'm like,
you know, it was the Pinocchio like Elden Ring type game.
It was a Pinocchio Elden Ring game?
Yeah. It's like where you play as the character.
What console? Geppetto?
Pinocchio. No, you play as Pinocchio.
You play as Pinocchio.
Pinocchio style.
Okay.
It's like the story of it, but it's in like a modern futuristic thing.
Oh, see,
like
you're making puppets. Me think you're playing as Pinocchio, like fighting Geppetto and all this.
You are playing as Pinocchio, essentially, kind of.
So confused right now. This is a thing.
Yeah, but it's called Lies of Pi. You're kind of like Pinocchio, but it's in the world.
Lies of Pi, like Lies Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. Mm. Yeah, Lies of Pinocchio.
Wow.
You didn't hear about this game at all?
Not at all.
It was pretty good. Well, it's pretty big. It's like Elden Ring. But I started playing it with my son because we liked Elden Ring, and within 2 hours of playing it, I was like, okay, I have to put this down. This is going to be take me 200 hours to beat this game. Like, we've done nothing in 2 hours.
You know what always throws me off on games? When I play it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to love this game. I'm so excited. And then it's like, you unlocked this. And you're like, okay, sweet. I unlocked like a new skill set. And it's like, hit the skill set menu, hit it. And it's like a web. And you're like, oh my God, there's 7,000 upgrades. I'm like, I'm out.
That's what this game was. I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to take it'll take me the next year to beat that.
Yeah, game. I do not have that time.
I just don't have the time for
true.
It. Pikmin, I can go wee wee, just throw some around,
that's hilarious.
Kill some
that's
of those little nice, things. Yeah.
All right, so GameStop adding retro games to their store. How does that affect the market
or anything?
Or anything?
I saw some pictures float around. I don't know like what level or of what corporate decision is like you can put them in, or if it's like per store. I don't think everybody's doing it, but I have seen pictures floating around of retro games in a GameStop. Funny enough, the prices were actually mildly comparable as well. Also, shout out Iowa Retro Gamer. He's the one I kind of saw this from and kind of was poking into it. But I was like, wow, he was comparing the prices and they were pretty comparable to like eBay and like price charting. Like, they weren't like trying to wax or anything. You know, it wasn't comparable to some of the other websites that are much higher. But I'm curious, you as a store owner, what would be your thoughts if every GameStop in the area is like, hey, it's now a corporate thing, GameStop wide, we're all carrying retro games now. We're sign on the front door. We buy retro video games.
They did this, the first time they rolled this out was maybe like 6 years ago, 5-6 years ago now.
When
they announced we're going to start buying retro games. At that time, myself and other store owners were very nervous about it. I was like, oh shoot, this could be the end. Like, if they get into this big. And they really, in my opinion, just messed the whole thing up because they were buying them and then they were just sending them off to a warehouse to sell.
Yeah.
And they never put them in their stores, right? And I was like, and then they stopped doing that maybe like 2 years ago. They ran into all sorts of issues with fake games and stuff. And
quality control,
And then they ended it. My opinion on it now is I feel like it's too little too late. I feel like, and one reason is I do feel like the video game stores like myself and Rick's and Game Towers and all of them, all the retro video game stores we all across the whole country have like situated ourselves. And I don't think GameStop could compete with us now on that level. Right. And I mean that genuinely. Like if you go into my store, first of all, or Rick's store, right? Like we have so many things and it's so catered to like the collecting.
I mean, your store is literally called Retro Games Plus.
Right. And I just feel like the community of the retro gamers and collectors have all been going for years now to their probably local retro game store. I think for GameStop to pull that away now would be very challenging. I don't think they could do it.
I feel like if GameStop did it too, I feel like it's going to be more of like the mom who found a couple Wii games. You know what I mean? And they're just like, I don't know what to do with this, right? It's almost like they're not even going to go in because they're specifically looking to sell retro games, but they're just like, oh, that's a game store. I wonder if they would buy this stuff.
Yeah. And they do. They do. We'll always get that, I think. And what they did for the longest time is we would get tons of referrals from GameStop. And we still do it now, even now. I don't know if all the GameStops are buying.
We'll bring them some donuts once in a while, you know?
Yeah. We would always, no lie, I would go in and butter it up with the GameStop employees. Business. I'd go in and say hi to them. Hey, by the way, I own a retro game store down here. If you get any trades, you know, send them down. And they're like, yeah, we don't buy that.
Here's $50. Have a good day.
No, I never. But I was in a GameStop over the right before Christmas and just pop in once in a while. I never buy anything in there. It is so dismal and sad the amount of games that are in those stores.
Yeah.
It's really not a game store anymore. There was one section about 4 feet wide of Xbox games, one section of PS4 games, tiny little section of Switch games, and the rest was all just like think geek.
It's like collectibles, toys, right?
Statues, yeah, collectibles.
Statues, stuff that I'm like, who is buying this?
It
stuff?
Feels like you're walking into, I don't know if you guys heard of that store, Lunchbox. Have you guys ever seen that? Yeah. It kind of feels like you're going into that vibe where it's just like reproduction toys everywhere. Like, I know I'm not seeing a lot of games. I'm saying, like, if you even see like a used game, it's not really prevalent there. Like I'm always like, oh, let me go not buy a brand new, let me go buy something that's like already been used.
Do you think there's ever a possibility of GameStop, I mean, or let's say there is a possibility, let's just say there is a possibility, next gen keeps going the way it's going, everyone's like, dude, there's no more physical, like this is toast, like we got to get away from being a new game store, we got to get away from Switch, PS6, Xbox Series Y, whatever it's going to be. We're going all retro.
I couldn't see it. I don't know. Something with them, just their corporate, who they are and their CEO and what they've become.
Is their CEO still that famous?
I think it's that Ryan Cohen.
Handsome dude or something?
I think it's Ryan Cohen.
Handsome dude.
That's all I remember. I remember someone, I was like, that guy's handsome.
He's probably a younger CEO. He's probably like our age. He might even be younger. And he was the guy that was involved with Chewy, which was like the online.
So it is the guy I'm thinking of. Yeah. Correct.
From everything I've read about him, like he's more of just like a big time investor. Last I read, like GameStop was using their funds to like buy stocks of other companies or something.
Okay.
I don't know. He's like a big time stock investor. Yeah. He basically kind of like took over GameStop as the CEO from what I've read. I don't know. I feel like if you had a CEO that was like at heart, like a retro game collector and understood the market, maybe. But with the current way they are, I just don't see it happening.
You should go for it.
I would love to.
Would you ever do it? Let's say tomorrow, right now, you're flipping through your phone. Whatever, ads don't come up like that. But like GameStop seeking new CEO, GameStop to be retro game stores.
Would I do it?
Would you put out a feeler like, I'm going to apply for this?
If I could be the CEO of that company, it would be pretty awesome. Because they have the infrastructure of still probably 4,000 video games.
Would you keep the name?
GameStop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. No, I know what I would do.
I
know exactly.
Retro GameStop?
No. I know exactly what I would do.
Retro
GameStop
Game Point?
Plus?
Nope.
I know what to do.
What would you do?
Make it a book, like a book off.
Nope. There's a name that they own the rights to that if they went back to it. They own Funko Land.
Oh.
They own the name Funko Land.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. I thought you were going to say Toys R Us. I was like, cool.
No, if they turned it back to that, that would be pretty awesome. That would be the first thing. Just get rid of GameStop, call it Funko Land, go retro.
Would you try to make it like a place of wonder again?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Then you could compete. But I think the way they currently are with their corporate mentality, they're too far removed.
Do you think the quality control of them, like in taking games, is not as good? Like the focus on taking in retro games, like repros and all that, they don't have that eye for it?
No, I think they could handle that. Yeah, I think they could.
It'd have to get better, though.
Yeah.
A lot better. Because a lot of people they're probably hiring are just like dudes who are like, hey, you play PlayStation and Nintendo? And they're not asking people, do you know NES and do you know how to spot GBA repros?
Because I remember when Phoenix Riso would like do these videos where he buys like 10, 20 games and he wants to see like how they come in the mail. And like they're always a smorgasbord of things.
I mean, it's gotten challenging for me over the years as time has passed on. Like my employee base now, on average, is probably like 21, 22 years old. These are kids like,
wow,
that make you look old, Curtis.
Someone said in the comments recently that they're like, when Curtis says back in my day, that was like two Thursdays ago.
That's crazy, because realistically, I hadn't been partying for like 6 years. That's what's crazy.
So just picture this, right? Like, and I can't do this. I have 5 stores, so I can't do this with all my employees, but I like the Huntington Beach store. Like somebody comes to trade in an Intellivision. We take Intellivisions. Training a 21-year-old how to hook up an Intellivision, they're like, they have no concept of what is going on.
Look it up on
Why
TikTok.
Are you even taking that in?
Yeah, like, so, well, it's just gotten further and further removed where like they have no concept of it. It's changed with employees for sure. And I'm sure GameStop has the same employee base, probably 21 years old.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that like diversifying yourself in retro has make you like not worry about those type of things, like where another store adds that was like a chain, like where you're going and diversifying your inventory?
I mean, it's certainly gotten like more saturated. Like I know Book Off, which is big out here, they've been pushing a lot of video games.
Ecotown
doing a lot more.
Yeah, pricey though, dude.
Yeah,
they're real pricey. I mean, I get it, they're very Japanese culture there, so everything's like super clean, super organized. But if you want to go look at something pretty, go look at Ecotown in Santa Ana. I don't mind blowing the spot, because you'll see tons of mint boxed NES games.
So they're fans of the show too.
Whoops. not the one in Santa Ana.
No.
I went there, dude, and I was like, oh my gosh, look at all these NES games. I sent Ricky a picture.
They had a bunch of games.
Dude,
NES games? Yeah, but they're priced.
Tons of them.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to score. Like nobody goes here to buy NES games. I pull out price charting and I'm like, every game is like 45% higher than price charting. And I'm like, okay, this isn't just like on market. This is like way above. But I mean, I get it. It was pretty. It was nice to look at. I was like, but okay, this is something I can move on from real quick.
Now, when you say oversaturated market, is it like creating a difference in like what values you're going to be putting out for your store?
I haven't seen a huge decrease in prices overall. There certainly is a lot more sellers like coming into the market as of recent, whether we're talking about Ecotown or Book Off pushing it or just in general. I've been even DM messaged, probably because of the podcast, like people, I'm in Minnesota and I'm looking to open a video game store. Can you help me out? Kind of thing. A lot more people, I think, opening retro video game stores, and that had kind of faded for a while. I want to say like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, like it had kind of died out. There wasn't a lot of people opening stores. There was a big rush maybe 10 years ago, a little bit of a rush, and then 4 or 5 years ago kind of died. And then now all of a sudden it's like everybody wants to own a store again.
Yeah. Now, like when, I know you guys this video where you guys went to this all sealed warehouse, like, but when another thing like happens like that, does that like fluctuate the market for prices when people find out that more games are available?
Yeah, when I went to Ben's Storesley unit. That dude was stacked with games, bro. Like,
yeah. Then you see like how many are really out there, and it puts in perspective, right?
It does. And I mean, again, not just joking with Ben's thing, but it's like sometimes I feel like things are portrayed as more obscure or rare, hard to find, than it really is. Because every once in a while, you know, I'll go in a game store, even for an example, and you know, like, oh, it's hard to find whatever, Earthbound or whatever it is. And I've been to game stores with a guy who's like 40 in the back. And he's like, yeah, just hold on to him. I just pass them out every once in a while, I'll drop one out. And I'm like, wow. Or, you know, I mean, I know these aren't obscure, obviously, like NES consoles. Or just, I've seen, you know, I don't remember, it was a store in South Carolina. The guy had like 1,000 in the back, just like a wall. You know, I'm just like,
yeah, this Ricky is has 15 in his other shed.
We got another shed.
That's just the
house.
Other shed. There's another shed.
How many sheds do you have?
You guys are in the business two of plus just buying sheds.
We're keeping Home Depot stat. I actually have a 15-foot shed showing up tomorrow.
I know you do.
So Sunday morning, boys. Another so Sunday shed. Morning, yo. You guys are going anywhere except my house. Come and put that together.
One of my favorite things like that I've actually seen of late is like I'll be on the Whatnot app, and then I'm always in the storage unit section no matter what. That is just like where I'm at because I'm always loving the randomness of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes like these units that people get, sealed NES, sealed SNES, and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, please no one else get in this room. But I know like because all of these people that are in those rooms, they know exactly about it. Like I'll see D-Rob get tagged, like gaming, the guy who bought our sealed games yeah. Which is like, dude, then you start seeing the values of these things. Some of them are running above market. Like even like if you were to see on eBay and all that stuff, people just get excited. You know what I mean?
But a lot of times, what I tell people at Whatnot, again, not sponsored. I feel like I have to say it because people complain.
Yeah, yeah. No, not an ad.
Well, the thing with Whatnot is you can go on eBay and be like near certain what you're going to get. Like, okay, that's what they did. But pictures can look different. Lighting, you hold a light in a different angle, you'll see scratches differently. What I like about Whatnot is that it's live. So a lot of times when things go over, which again, that's few and far between, yeah. But if they do, you can be like, you're seeing exactly what this thing looks like. Every angle, turn, hold, pause, let me show you this, let me switch it this way. So I feel like a lot of times when people are going crazy and that kind of stuff, you know, if a sealed Toki comes up, they don't come up often, near ever. So if you're going to get this one versus the one on eBay, and you're a collector that wants it a very specific way, you're willing to pay a little more to get it now to know exactly what your copy is going to look like.
I just know I get excited because I'm in the moment. I'm like, oh my gosh, they found this in a unit. Because it was like, you know, it was a collector's or somebody's who had it. Because like they'll find the statues editions. They'll find an entire like three or four boxes full of them. I'm like, dude, this is awesome to watch.
So much stuff on Whatnot.
Yeah. No, literally, my whole outfit is literally
90% of the time I'm on Whatnot and I start like bidding. I see Curtis in there. I'm like, Curtis. Like, hey,
I honestly do it as like a hobby almost because like I have fun on it. Like I honestly do. Fun. Like and like I honestly, it's like one of the best places to source.
It really is.
Like I source a lot from there. Like that's and I keep a lot too because I like to sell.
Collectors, I will say, I feel like a lot of collectors because Whatnot got a little hate in the beginning are sleeping hard on Whatnot. Which,
yeah.
Please keep doing it. Because I'm in those rooms. Yeah.
I don't sell on Whatnot because I feel like it hammered on there.
There is a
so
there
you guys
is
that, have a following, of course, and you have a lot of more eyeballs.
But I'm talking as a buyer.
As a buyer, yeah, you can. Well, yeah, you can get good deals.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. For sure.
I got
you
have to be like,
I'm not saying this as like a knock to anybody who's trying to get on the app or the ad. There are sellers who go into different categories and they will take the L to build an audience.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like true. I saw them literally selling some rare film stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like that film crew stuff. And she's like, I know what this is worth. I don't have the time on eBay to put it up.
We do it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every week. I'm like, yeah. I know what I could get for this. I'm selling I do not like this person.
Yeah.
Lil Nas X. I'm selling his Grammy entrance badge.
Oh,
his badge.
That's insane.
It's his. I looked it up. It's his badge.
There's like nothing on that.
I know what I could get on eBay for that. I don't have time. I'll probably get $40 and whatnot. I don't care. Someone will put it on eBay and get $1,000. Cool. I don't care. Move on. Next. That's how I think. So it just depends on your mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
Just different business models.
Yeah. 100% different business models.
So guys, like what's your favorite Jim Carrey movie?
That's hard.
Christmas just passed and I am fresh off the Grinch. And what's his, the Christmas Carol one with him in there?
Christmas Carol.
But I forget what's the different word? Phrase on it. I can't remember what they call it or anything, but those aren't my favorites. Are we gonna go all right, think about your actual favorite.
Got it.
Jim Carrey. Ricky, what is it?
Ace Ventura 2 when
nature calls.
Shikaka.
Dang, can we get a list of them?
Bumblebee Tuna. I think Curtis actually has a list right here. Look at this.
Can we read them?
I can actually let's see. I'll read. Oh, what is he doing here?
There's Dumb and Dumber.
I don't think this is his list.
Dumb and Dumber.
I love Truman Show.
Oh, here
Truman
we go.
Truman Show. What
Dumb and Dumber. The Mask.
Ace
Ventura.
Ace Ventura.
Liar.
Liar is so good.
Liar Liar is one of my favorites. But so I will good. Say this is one of my favorites. And I just visited the area. The Truman Show.
Truman Show is great.
Truman Show was such a good. I think we all fell in love, obviously, with Jim Carrey pretty much at the same time. Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber. That's when everybody was like, oh my gosh, this guy's a riot. But when Truman Show dropped, it was like realizing when someone's more, you know, when you see a lot of actors, they play the same role, they're a lot of the same things. I think that's when you realize, like, this guy is not only talented enough to portray a different, you know, demeanor throughout a whole movie, but to like really pull in emotions. Yeah. Like, and I went and visited it recently, that town. By the way, that town is eerily perfect.
It's cool.
It's like eerily perfect.
It's like a nuke town.
You would
Where is it? Where is the town?
Florida?
It's in Florida. I forget the name. I don't want to Google it. You guys will find it. We were there in Florida. A really rad weekend. And we went down there. But when you see the movie, you're thinking, this has got to be a prop set. This has got to be these streets, the people. No. It's like... It reminds you of what do they call the housewives when everything's perfect? I can't remember the name. Not Desperate Housewives.
Real Housewives?
No, when like a whole neighborhood is all people who are like the same and perfect and everyone's A-okay and hello neighbor. That's what it's like down there. It was awesome.
The other movie that he did, I'm a huge Dumb and Dumber fan.
Yeah.
Huge.
And I love The Mask, but the other one that he did, I'm pretty sure, it's Jim Carrey that's in it. What is it called? Something of the
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh my gosh. I love that movie. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless
Mind. Such an odd movie too.
So good. Where basically he is forgetting every single day. And I kind of use that analogy sometimes that like, because they're talking about the reference is like not focusing on the past, right? Like, and they forget each other, and I think they like re-fall in love, like every day.
Are you thinking of 50 first dates?
I'm just kidding. No,
but don't they re-fall in love? Like he forgets every day.
It's been a long time since I've seen it. I actually saw it in theaters, and that was the last time I saw it.
Okay, but my recollection of what that movie is about is like the bliss of like forgetting about the past, right? Like the eerie sunshine.
Eternal sunshine.
No, you're right. Eternal sunshine of the spotless mind.
Yep. Is basically like if you didn't remember all the past you've done, you're basically like waking up every day like, oh, it's a fresh start. I didn't do all these, you know, I didn't mess up on this or I didn't have a bad day. Like,
I don't know if I'd like that or day. Not.
But sometimes it's good, right? Like if you talk about the idea of live your life in the present.
Yeah.
That's what that concept is,
true.
Right?
Yeah. You
know? That's true.
That was a good movie. I like that movie.
Ricky, did you have any?
Oh, I already said Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So, dude, that's me as a kid with my brothers. That's what it was. We were the idiots and always just quoting it.
Yeah.
Bumblebee Tuna, excuse me.
His physical humor is mind-blowing. His face expressions.
I think they're just
It's almost like as if you hooked up little clips to my face in like 18 different areas and had somebody on the other side pulling it like this. Like it's like a rubber face.
It's so good. Manipulate.
He literally starred in a movie called Rubber Face, right? Or a show. I think it was a show.
I first saw him, I think, on In Living Color.
Oh, yeah. That's
oh my
one.
Gosh.
Yeah. The exercise person.
I forget which comedian it was, but they were talking about how just amazing Jim Carrey is. Yeah. And they were saying it was stuff that like you can't learn the comedy that he was like
no. He's never such a perfect that. Improviser
because it was all like body stuff, like you couldn't mimic Jim Carrey as a comedian.
No
way.
Physical humor was absolutely unreal. The Mask too. I did like them. I don't know if I love The Mask as many people.
I love it.
I think I was one of those kids when I saw it. All I saw was great.
I mean Cameron Diaz is the hard top for
that's
sure
all that's
I saw
what that you movie. Remember yeah as a boy.
But I think one of my favorite movies by him was Liar Liar.
Oh,
when
absolutely.
He's in the court and he can't lie to the woman's face and he's just like he's like stretching his mouth in front of her and he's like and another one would be Bruce Almighty, but Liar Liar was definitely,
you know which one I like a lot? Yes Man. I don't know why.
Oh, I like Yes Man.
Yes Man. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I love it. It's so good.
Cable Guy was pretty good.
Cable Guy's good.
You know how like gnarly it would be if he was like starring in horror? Like I feel like
he was in the number 23.
I was going to say he did do horror. It was 23.
But I mean, like, as in, like...
I don't remember
like,
it, though.
I mean, good grief. I'm sure this has been out there, but imagine him as the Joker.
God, he would have made an awesome Joker.
My goodness, his
Instead
face...
Instead of the Riddler, special. Yeah.
I mean, I know he did the Riddler, but that was also cheeseball time of Batman. Current day, like, good direction, Batman, with him as the Joker. I mean, you almost don't need makeup.
Dude, yeah. I mean, like, he
plays... almost like the perfect character for that.
Yeah.
He's insane. He can be... I don't know what he's like in real life.
Dude. Well, he plays, like, eerie characters. Like, I mean, if you remember...
He'll take the part too serious. Like, you know that one movie he did about the comedian?
Andy in the something?
Yeah, yeah, but he took it to, like, a new level where he wanted only people to call him by that name. Yeah. He only wanted people to call him Andy, like, during the whole filming. Like, he wasn't allowed to be called Jim Carrey. Like, it was just, call me by this name. I was like,
what was, like... one of your guys' like favorite scenes of his, if you guys can remember, in a movie?
Honestly, mine is in Truman Show. Just the end sequence when everything's coming together and he's on the boat and he's gonna die, and you know, voice of God comes in and tells him, you know, hey, I'm here, we've all been watching you. And I just love that the movie was so, it was such a sad moment. It's one of those moments where you're about to cry, but then he gets out and he's just standing on the exit staircase and he's like, if I don't see you, good afternoon. Good evening. And he just has a smile on his face. And it was just such a throw from where I thought he was going to go from, like, losing control. It was almost eerily similar to the town that he grew up in, which was eerily perfect, right? You would almost think in that situation, you'd want to freak out and scream the F word at everybody and yell, but he was just like, but I don't see it. Get out. And he just, that's it. And the movie, and I'm like,
I like,
no, that was a good climax for me.
To like the opposite of that, I like when he just peed on the back of the bike going up to Aspen and he's stuck.
One of the best scenes is like when they're it's another pee scene when they're in the truck, the dog truck, and he's peeing in the bottles and he's like, all right. He's just filling them up. He's like,
I never liked the way that the cop actor though portrayed drinking it. It always bothered me. I don't know why. Yeah. So I was like, that's weird. I don't think that's anybody's reaction.
What, little tart?
Yeah, he went like,
I was like, nobody does that. Yeah, like, you'd be like, oh, the crap. Like, nobody's gonna do this weird. I don't know. That's the only part about that scene.
Now, there's because he's like one of the best improvisers ever. One of the scenes that he improvised was when he was writing with the bar of soap on the mirror, and it's a camera face of him. He Truman makes an show. Astronaut show, Truman Show. Yeah. He makes an astronaut of his head, and he goes, like, all right, we're going to the Truman Space Station or something like that, or Truman World. And it's just so iconic because it looks like he's just talking to himself and people are like actually watching him.
Yeah.
And I couldn't imagine if your whole life is just watched and you don't even know it. That's crazy.
I do like the concept too. We talked about Liar Liar of like, that is a smart a lawyer. Also, lawyer sounds like liar, but it's known that if you're a lawyer, no worries. But like, you know, a lot of times you kind of have to lie. And I'll be honest, even like when I watch some true crime documentaries, I'm like, man, imagine having to be that guy's lawyer.
Literally.
Like, imagine being like, I know that guy raped this person and killed that person and starved his family and beat his wife. And but I'm going to defend him. It's like, that's
yeah, sucks. No, it's a real thing.
So that's why that movie, there's so much hilarity in it, especially being him. Like, he's a people person that, you know, it's again, everybody fibs in a way, right? We're not pathological liars, but imagine my personality, happy, outgoing, and walking down a hallway at work where there's a guy with a giant pimple or a mega huge guy, and it's like, and they ask you questions and it's like you have to say the truth and then put in a courtroom. I mean, that's like a perfect script, a perfect concept for that. One of my favorite scenes is when he's kicking his own butt in the bathroom.
He walks up.
My ass,
and then like another like big movie that like he played is Bruce Almighty. There's so many scenes like when he pulls the moon forward and he makes I think it was Jennifer Aniston's, but
I want to see the list again. You're talking, show me that list again.
Let me show you the list, but like,
let me see this
right. And then like when he's in the newsroom and he's doing the typecasting for Steve Carell's character as a newscaster, and he's like, he's just putting it in and he's like, and I do the cha-cha like a little sissy.
I liked Fun with Dick and Jane.
That was a good one. Irene was also a great one.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Oh, that was a great one.
That was good.
He played three different characters.
I loved when he takes the pill and he's like, yeah, it's schizophrenia, manic depression. And then he's like, and she looks at him like, what are you taking?
What else?
I mean, there's a good amount, but I think Grinch, it's almost hard to imagine a different person playing the Grinch. But it's weird because if you watch the original Grinch cartoons or animated, that's not how I would have perceived the Grinch, right? I would have pictured him more sly and cynical and like a little more slithery snake. But the Jim Carrey aspect was so over the top, so animated that I feel like it took its own life from what the original cartoon was. But I feel like I wouldn't want it any other way, because that is like my dad's like staple. My dad loves it. Every time my dad pulls up in his car, he's like, it's a new car, because that's the narrative. Every time he like says a joke, he always goes, fuck her up and kiss it, Whoville.
Time's up!
No!
No!
What?